Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Indeed we are. Dan?
What's
Dan.
Up? Hey.
Dan.
Hello.
If I was, I don't know. If I were?
Use the subjunctive.
All right. All right. I apologize.
Were I to be
someone utterly unfamiliar with
a subjunctive
podcasts, okay. Grammar,
sure.
Love.
Okay.
Just the general sense that life could be better.
I would say, first of all, the passive voice is spectacular. Secondly, I would say that
I don't understand that. I don't know anything about grammar.
Can't help you on love. I'm a robot.
There we go.
I can tell you that this is a podcast where I know a lot about Alex Jones, and this guy over here doesn't know anything about him, and you should listen to it. Give it a shot.
Absolutely. Perfect.
So, guys,
that bit was executed to perfection.
It was not bad. Before we get going with today's episode, just got to address a slight elephant in the room. We did try and record on Monday night and got into a little bit of a row, a little bit of a fight, and enough people were watching and are going to listen to the show that I feel like it's appropriate that we address.
We should at least talk about it.
Because I do think that I got a couple of messages that were nice from people, like being like, hey, don't worry about stuff. And I don't think necessarily that people understood that I wasn't mad at you. I wasn't mad at you interrupting me. That's kind of our dynamic. That's like
a little bit
to the extent of like in the chat room, they have a drinking game, and one of the things is when I physically have to wait to talk. So like, it's not
that's fair.
It's not that I'm unfamiliar with that dynamic between us, or even that it bothers me.
Right.
But I think a lot of people might have thought like Dan and Jordan are fighting. They're mad at each other. They're not going to be friends or something like that. And that's
oh good God, no.
What was going on is we were having a conversation about the children in concentration camps.
Yes.
Concentration camps, use whatever language you prefer that seems fitting. But you were talking about how you aren't sure if this was really that new in terms of atrocities that the United States commits.
Right.
And, of course, other countries, but, you know, since we live in the United States... It isn't that, and I was trying to butt in to disagree with you because I don't necessarily think what we ended up talking about after we turned off the recording was what I was probably trying to get to say, which was that the lack of a justifiable explanation for this, the lack of plausible deniability that we have in like, when a drone accidentally, in heavy quotes, kills a child.
Right.
When it's trying to aim at a terrorist. Like, there's some sort of psychological buffer that you can make in your head, that allows you to, like, move on past it.
Right.
Whereas this has no, buffer like that at all.
Nope. This is just abject cruelty.
Well, so you were making, your point, and I tried to butt in to sort of disagree with it to make that point. Or to sort of include that in the conversation, and then you steamrolled right through into how there should be no government, and how, like, maybe borders are a bad idea, and shit like that.
Yeah.
And it just made me so mad because I didn't get to say the thought that I wanted to say. I just disagreed with you on your road towards extreme position.
Right.
So it was going to paint me in the box, like I've explained to you, that I was a centrist on children's freedom. And I'm not thrilled.
Right.
I can take it when someone wants to, like, levy accusations of Dan being a centrist with, like, I mean, I'm a big boy. I don't care.
Right.
I can take my lumps and I can debate things with people, but I really, in terms of this situation and this story, I have no interest in that branding.
Yeah.
I have no time for it. Even people who mean it well. And none of this is to say that you were intentionally behaving in a way that would put me in that box.
Right.
Or anything. It's not mad at you. I'm not mad at the hypothetical listeners. I was just super frustrated and dealt with it poorly by throwing my headphones on the table.
Well, that's where, like, when I'm trying to think through that thought, which was something that I've been thinking about the whole day. And
I could tell you were doing a
bit. I was just trying so hard to get to, like, this reconciliation of it.
Yeah.
Because you're absolutely right. One of the big reasons that this is so much different is, despite all of the cruel acts that America has committed and continues to commit.
Yeah, yeah, kind of a thing.
This one is just so, it isn't different, and yet it is so massively different.
I'm certain if someone, like a historian, were to sit down and like really go over examples, there's gotta be another few that are just as bad.
Yeah, of course.
But in our lifetime, it does feel uniquely shitty.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Right.
I'm fine saying that and acting on it now. I'd probably need to sit with those feelings for a little while to know if I fully support that.
Right.
I'm not sure if it matters. But, you know, it's hard. And the other thing that I think is particularly hard about it too is that, like, not to say we called this or anything like that, but I think one of the things that we've gone over and over again is like, A, Alex Jones is representative of this tide. He is a voice of white nationalism.
Yes.
What you're seeing is othering of particularly Muslims and immigrants. And it's not to say, like, it feels really terrible because, A, even we couldn't stop this.
Right.
or anything like that. But there is,
right. No, I totally understand where you're coming from.
There is a marked feeling of impotence around it, and that is kind of a bummer. I don't know if that has any place of ego in it or anything, but it just kind of everything really sucks. And then the other thing that we talked about when we turned things off was the feeling of inability to do anything, like even a desperate an awareness that situation is desperate and we need to act.
Right.
The ability to make any concrete change feels very difficult, and there are things we can do. There's a rally. There's protests that will be taking place. There's organizations people can donate
to.
Yeah,
a couple of organizations
I'll
continue.
Let you I just want to say that it feels very desperate, and it feels desperate even to do these things and having done these things.
Right.
It doesn't feel like you're really making a difference, but it does matter. It does matter to do those things or do something, because what Alex Jones would advocate is a feeling of powerlessness in the face of this giant behemoth evil, and that's stupid.
Right.
Direct action is always possible. Even if it feels like it does nothing, should do something.
Well, that's one of the organization that I there are a couple that I looked into today that
I say nothing about these organizations. I didn't look into them. I will stand. I'll stand by your assessment, though.
There are a couple of organizations that I researched that are direct action. You know, they're not like the Red Cross where they have an operating budget or anything like that. Like, I don't fuck around with that.
Sure.
The first was the Legal Aid Justice Center, which is entirely devoted to getting migrant children representation.
Great.
Because if they've been separated from the parents, 70% of them or something like that have nobody.
Mm-hmm.
So they have no representation. They have nothing in the court.
Nor rights necessarily.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the
right
other one.
Like a attorney at all.
Yeah, exactly. And then the other one was, I think it's actually becoming somewhat popular. It's, RAICES.
I've seen, people post that on Twitter.
The big reason that I, liked them a lot is because they are putting it not just towards, legal defense, but also towards a permanent bail fund.
Right.
Or a bond fund.
That's great.
So, if it costs $5,000 to get out of, prison to see your kid, and you don't have $5,000, well, then you just stay there. Mm-hmm. With this permanent bond fund, because bonds aren't, you know, it's not like a purchase. If everything goes well, you get the money back.
Yeah.
So if the bond fund is set up sufficiently, it can operate indefinitely. And that's one of the big things that I feel like we should do.
Great.
The other thing is, I think we should, all buy guns and, what? That one was a bit.
Okay. So anyway, that is the first 9 minutes of our episode.
Yep.
And,
yep.
Now we're back. And I think that we did the right thing by bailing on the episode, because as we revealed, and I will reveal in a moment here, this is going to be a Project Camelot episode. And
yeah.
There's no reason to have that kind of negative cloud hovering over what's supposed to be a jolly good time.
Yeah, we are absolutely going to enjoy the fuck out of this episode.
Oh, and you will.
I can't wait.
You might actually not. Because of how much I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, well, if you enjoy it, that means research and words.
Oh, man.
Words,
there's
Dan.
So much. This hits on
all this passive voice.
This episode actually is going to hit on to two things that I've done extensive amounts of research in the past. and it just happens to converge in one person. Oh, God.
Perfect.
It's so much stupidity.
You've fallen in love.
More or less with the city of Austin.
There it is. That's right.
Thank you so much to everybody in Austin. We were there on Friday. The live episode came out on Monday. We, first of all, appreciate all the positive reviews of the live episode. Those live, the positive reviews would be impossible without the help of the people who helped us set up and, make that a reality.
Absolutely.
And so just before we get going, I'd like to, instead of thanking any donors today, I'd like to give some thank yous to the folks in Austin who really facilitated this shit, along with yourself, Jordan.
Yeah, fuck off. You picked the perfect episode.
But that's not as much of the work as coordinating.
All we had to do was fly down there.
Nah, that's true.
That's, still... that's because the people on the ground in Austin, John, Doug, Rory, Max, everybody on the ground who made that show possible, it was the most fun, nerve-wracking, insane couple of days I think of my entire life.
It was spectacular, and because of that quadrumvirate.
Quadrumvirate?
I don't think that's the right word.
Quimber?
Four musketeers. Mm. Three musketeers plus D'Artagnan. because of their help, it was just a spectacular time. And in recognition of that, I would like to announce that all four of them are now officially Raptor Princesses.
Hey!
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone, sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
I know how to read.
I am out of control. You know, I've never really seen a lot of white racism in my life. I really haven't. I bet you money there are a few living black people that have been abused by white people as much as I have been abused by black people. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, both those guys were complete badasses. Complete studs.
Welcome to McDonald's. May I help you? I'm Benny Sanders.
Thank you so much, Austinites.
It's so prophetic, isn't it?
What?
His admiration for Hitler and Stalin as being complete badasses, and you're like, well, he's being facetious, and then we get our own, and he's like, oh yeah, no, he loves him. No, Fair enough.
That's also because Hitler and Stalin were white.
That's true!
That's why he doesn't say that about Mao.
That's true. That's true.
So, I mean, I think that's gotta be a piece of it.
He would totally be against the immigration policy if Obama was doing it.
Yeah.
Like, if Obama was doing all this Holocaust shit, he would be like, hey, he's coming after our people! That whole thing.
Or if it was, like, whites coming in from the South or something like that.
I mean, oh, yeah.
It's all just...
Totally fine.
It's all steps towards ethnic cleansing.
White supremacists.
And ethnic cleansing.
Yep.
I don't want to minimize that stuff, and I'm sure Alex is saying some horrible stuff about it.
Yeah, well, I can't deal with that.
I don't want to listen to it.
Uh-uh.
I don't care to hear him defend these policies.
I don't want to hear anybody defend this shit.
I don't want to hear, someone posted in the Facebook group about how he's talking about Space Force. I don't give a shit. I don't want to hear about Space Force from him. Because I have other people to tell me about it.
And I'll tell you something about our Jedi work, okay? It's not just killing.
Ooh.
No.
So that is an out of context drop.
It is not just killing.
Episode. Nope, but it is partially killing.
Well, Jedi gotta kill.
Gotta kill.
Hey, they don't want to.
It's like
sometimes you gotta.
It's like what you learn in episode one of Game of Thrones. Sometimes you gotta kill. And if you put a death sentence down, you gotta kill that person yourself.
Oh, that's true.
But Ned teaches.
Ned actually was a Jedi.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was. very low tech Jedi. So, Jordan, like I said, today is, episode of, the PC, the Project Camelot.
Hell yeah.
And every episode of Project Camelot begins the exact same way, with Carrie Cassidy saying her name. So we will never forget that it's not
Carrie Callahan.
Other than Carrie Cassidy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carrie Cassidy from Project Camelot and very happy to be here tonight. I have a very good old friend. Haven't heard or seen from him in a long time. And
he spoke
at one of my conferences. He's a wonderful researcher and investigator and going to bring him on the screen here now. Stephen Kelly, Steven, say hello to everyone.
Hi, Carrie.
Hey, Steven.
Hey, Steven.
How you doing, Steve?
Join the club. How's Carrie doing? She's really excited. She's feeling
good.
It.
She's good.
This means if she's excited, which you can tell by the sound of her voice.
He's a wonderful researcher, and she's thrilled to have him on the show.
Thrilled to have him on in that wonderful monotone that she has.
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. This guy is like, we've been.
What do you got?
I don't know how to put this into words. Like, cause you know what? Every single time we meet a new person through Project Camelot, I'm sure my response is, we found a real crazy here. Like, I always think we've outdone ourselves in
it's
terms of-
It's almost like there's a thread.
Yeah, but this guy is like a really unique, version of crazy for this show.
Alright.
I'm-
Is he random pants crazy?
I think he's crazier than a diamond gusset pair.
Okay.
What he is like this, he gives me multiple feelings, whereas like there's other people like Mark Richards doesn't give me multiple feelings. He gives me like that guy's a murderer and he's having fun in prison.
Yeah,
like that. That's all I got.
It's a very extreme two feelings, but yeah,
right.
Yeah,
Some of these other guys, like a Randy Kramer, he's that other space pilot guy.
Yeah,
I'm just like that guy. You know, he's just making up a past for himself because he had a do nothing 20s.
He had a rough go.
He had a do nothing decade in his 20s, and now he's like, well, actually, I was in space.
Of course.
But they brought me back to my body the exact moment I left.
It's crazy.
I'm like, I understand you gotta reclaim some time. I had some bad years too. I get it. Like that sort of thing. This guy, Stephen Kelly, is like, I got so many feelings about him. I don't even know how to tell you ahead of time.
All right.
There's hilarity.
Yes.
There's so many others. This is gonna be a mess. But here
we're gonna get the full gamut of human emotion today.
Yeah, absolutely. You might be wondering though, why is he on the show? Why is Carrie having him on? And
is he a Jedi?
Well, we're gonna get to that.
Okay,
we're gonna get to that much later.
All right.
But first,
much later. It takes a while to get up to Jedi,
and he doesn't want to reveal those sorts of things.
He's a Padawan at the beginning of the episode.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So we get to Carrie explaining why she's having him on. Again, because he was on way in the past, and then she tries to distance herself from some of his ideas.
Okay.
Immediately.
Okay.
Well, I was going through my library, and I realized that somehow my audio interviews with you seem to have disappeared. And we did get hacked.
No, you didn't.
We don't know what happened to some of the radio shows. They disappeared. So I thought I'd bring you back on, and we just... It may seem like we're going over old business, but it's still current, so it's all good.
Yeah,
good
well,
argument.
You know, I think it's been, it was November 2012 when, you know, the whole just 2012 happened is when I really came out with this, and I think that's when you became aware of all that. So, yeah, it's been at least a good, going on 6 years now that we've been doing all this stuff.
Right. Actually, I think it was before that, we were in touch, but, it's been a while.
It's been a while and there's definitely a right, which is not a good tone of voice.
Well, it's because he kept saying 2012. Because
you remember the 2012.
This guy is talking about Nibiru coming back and what have you.
Okay.
He has not left that tip, even though it's
still
all
still on Nibiru. Isn't that gone?
He might believe that 2012 did happen.
Didn't it? But the deadline is passed.
Oh, it's passed. There's no doubt about that.
And he's not redoing the deadline?
He's just
like, no, you guys weren't paying attention. It did happen.
I can't explain to you what he means exactly by this, but the fact that he's doing that dance means either he knows it was wrong, but now he has such a good sense of humor about himself that he's like, I could make fun of myself for it. Or he still believes, because a lot of people do, that their predictions weren't wrong, but there was like a wave of waking up that happened on December 25th is... Christmas, December 21st, 2012.
Yeah.
That was like that awakening. That's the date of the beginning of the awakening that's still happening.
Okay, and, it's a long awakening.
Right. Also, I know I've got so much fun.
The awakening of what?
The people.
But how does that relate to the end of the world?
I don't understand.
Did we wake up too much?
No. 2012 was never about the end of the world. That's just Roland Emmerich movies.
Oh, okay.
That's just nonsense.
All right.
December 25th, again, is Christmas.
Christmas.
December 21st, 2012.
The birth of our Lord and Savior,
no,
Jesus Christ.
It's about the end of the Bakhtun. It's the end of the...
Right.
It's the beginning of the new phase in the Mayan calendar. And everybody interpreted it as the end of the world, but it's actually just a cycling over of a new...
It's a rebirth.
The age of Aquarius, if you will, or something along those lines. That's the way a lot of these dudes would try and rationalize it. Although they did have a lot of fun with the Doom porn around that time with like all the Planet X is coming back. And
pretty good stuff.
Planet X is going to hit the world.
I can't wait.
Yeah. So at this point...
I saw The Fifth Element. It's going to be awesome when Planet X hits the world.
It's going to be crazy. So at this point, we get Carrie asking... Steve, I'm going to call him Steve, even though he goes by Steven, asking Steve for some of his credits.
Disrespectful bastard.
Hey, look, I've spent a lot of time with this guy at this point.
Friends. All right.
So she asks for his bona fides and his credits, and then we get to hear a pretty familiar thing. It's real weird.
So anyway, you are what you call yourself is an ex-contractor for the NSA and the CIA. Can you explain that in a little more detail for people?
All right, real quick. That means I am not a agent, CIA agent, NSA agent. I never went through. I never worked for Langley or any of these places like that. What I did do is I was a contractor. I worked and built and was sort of like an employee for these cowboy agencies that they set up on the side out there. And of course, the CIA, when they do operations, half the time they're made, everybody is disposable. The whole operation is disposable. So I was one of those disposable people. And then of course, I got involved with the Ollie North people.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
Then
I got involved in Iran-Contra.
That's a normal progression. That's how it works. I was an expendable guy and then Oliver North came along and he was like, you get the hard rice.
All of these guys are mixed up with Ollie North. All of them. Every single one of these assholes somehow is involved with the Iran-Contra scandal, and they're all lying. It's crazy.
Which is the weirdest thing to lie about.
No, it's not.
Why would you want to be part of the Iran-Contra scandal?
It's because there's so many, like, it's so definite. Like, it definitely happened.
It did definitely happen.
Enough
true.
People have had to go on record and say, like, this is real, but also lie about the exact details of it.
Right.
That you have like this wiggle room of people who will never tell the whole truth, but there enough truth is out there that you can be like, I was mixed up in that shit.
Yeah.
And no one will ever be able to confirm it, but it has so much more credibility than to say I was in a space battle or something like that, because I don't believe that space battle happened. I do know that Iran-Contra did happen.
That's true.
So that's why they play this game. It's the same reason like why you would say I'm a part of the NSA. I was an NSA contractor because they're never going to confirm or deny that. Instead of saying, like, I'm a part of X, Y, or Z program that, like, you're just making up.
Right.
You just make up a program.
Right.
Be like, what are you talking about? No one has any. Carrie would believe him. But
well,
no one
in
else.
In the 80s, the Dollar General stores, I don't know if you knew this.
It was an actual militia?
Yeah, they actually had a secret space program that was run by General Dollars. Uh-huh. That's the weird thing about the name. They tricked people by transposing it.
The Dollar General?
But General Dollars ordered so many of us, and I was only born. I was just born at the time, but because of the way that the Dollar General works, they have... I'm out. I ran out of Carrie Cassidy lies.
Okay.
That's all I got.
That's fine. But that's why
I was just really excited about General Dollars.
That's fun. but that gives you some reason why all of these people bring up the Ollie North shit.
Right.
That's why Larry Nichols brings it up. That's why this guy does. I think at least two other people I've heard on Project Camelot lie about being mixed up in fucking Iran-Contra. And I listened to it and I'm like, shouldn't you guys know each other then? Like, what? Isn't there?
It was a big operation.
It couldn't have been that big.
There were thousands of people working on it.
Now, Steve, his business is lasers. I should tell you that.
Right. Yeah. Which is why Oliver North is now the head of the NRA.
Oh, that
because
makes sense.
He needs lasers. Mm-hmm. That's the only
laser sights for guns.
They hired him to take the NRA into the future,
right?
And space battles mm-hmm. with lasers.
No.
And they're gonna run illegal lasers next.
I don't think these are like war lasers. Like,
oh,
I don't think this is a laser that can hit you. The only thing I've seen that that Steve seems to have made are like lasers for gun sights.
Oh, like laser
like a targeting players. Laser.
Yeah,
exactly.
All right.
I don't
Less interesting.
I'm not positive that I can find any proof that he even knows anything about like high-end lasers.
Right. Except, well, I mean, it's like the light. You put it through
like
a crystal.
It is like light.
It's so like light.
It's very
whatever
similar.
You understand about light, it's pretty much the same stuff.
It's true. So, of course, Steve was involved with Ollie North.
I'm loving you calling him Steve.
Of course he was.
I'm loving it.
Now, would you be surprised to learn that he was involved with a bunch of other mysterious groups?
I am not.
And then, of course, after dealing with them, I worked with the CIA again, but I did get involved with the Billy Meyer people and all that, his business with the Pleiadians and the UFOs. And then
right.
that led to even all kinds of more crazy stuff with the secret agencies and eventually got hooked up to Templars, Bilderbergers, and the people under the Getty that I call the Caver, which don't really have anything to do with government per se, but
per se.
I guess they're closer to the world, the Cabal, the New World Order, those people.
Okay. So let me check my watch. That's everyone.
All right. I was originally a contractor working for a cowboy agency.
Blah, blah, blah.
Then I got mixed up with Oliver North. Now, that somehow that went south. I still don't know the details.
Right.
So then I just go back to the CIA. Uh-huh. You know, they always take people back.
Yeah, sure.
That's the CIA's
sure.
policy. Get on back in here.
One time I quit my job at a movie theater when I was an usher, just because I got mad at the boss one night.
Right.
And then like 2 days later, I was like, hey, look, I overreacted. Do you mind if I come back? And he's like, get in here.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
It's the same thing.
CIA. Yeah.
Oh, sure. You committed treason or whatever.
Sure.
Get on back in here.
You were involved
come on.
In a national disgrace where you were selling guns.
So then by working with the CIA, I of course got hooked up with the Pleiadians,
and the Meyer, Billy
yeah.
Meyer people.
Yes, yeah.
We,
yeah.
We are not going to not talk about.
And like I like his life is like him just bouncing around from secret agency, all bored about it, like, oh yeah, I was with the Space Monsters and I fought them, and then I went back to the NSA, and
then
they were
in
like,
came the Templars.
Yeah, well, the Templars are always going to swoop in.
Yeah, they're swoopy. So, what do you know about Billy Meyer?
He was an assassin?
Just in the
age-old battle between the assassins and the Templars?
No. Billy Meyer is a Swiss dude.
He's a Swiss dude.
Yeah.
All right.
He's a Swiss
Jedi?
Con man.
All right. Well, that I could assume.
And UFO guy.
What is a Jedi but not a con man?
Fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, they absolutely. Wave their hands, they make you believe things. That's con. That's a con.
Here is a UFO. So he's most famous for his very easy to debunk hoax photos and videos of UFOs and the like. You've probably seen a bunch of them.
Of course.
His photos have generally been proven to be just the result of him taking a photo of a photo that NASA had put out and making it look like the exposure was different and the flash was different. So, and, you know, like NASA puts out tons of animations
of what their
missions are going to be.
Yeah.
He would just take pictures of the animations and say that he took those pictures from a spacecraft.
Okay.
Shit like that.
That's great.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Or.
That is not a hard con to pull.
Even in many cases, he would take pictures of sci-fi movies that were playing on his TV and claim that they were aliens and shit like that.
Well, now I want to know which ones. What's this guy's taste?
I saw a couple, examples that people found that were like, all the points of similarity between
right.
And that you wouldn't know what they were. They were old movies.
Yeah. How does he feel about the Natalie Portman film Annihilation? I want to talk about that film so much and nobody has seen
it. He's taken a bunch of pictures of it.
I believe it.
So one picture.
Got a bear that talks like a person. Oh, so good.
One picture he put out claimed, that it was of Pleiadian women, two of them. It turned out to be a blurry picture of two of the members of the showgirl group, the Gold Diggers. From one of their appearances on the Dean Martin show. this guy is a huge mess. His videos purporting to show UFOs in action are the product of him making little models and using forced perspective. Cinematographers have explained how he does it, and his ex-wife has even come out and pointed out that in one of his most famous videos, she recognized their home's trash can lid as being part of the spaceship.
So he's like Ed Wood. This is what we're dealing with.
No.
We're dealing with a guy who has big dreams.
He's
got big dreams, and everybody is just pulling him down.
You need to pump the brakes on that, because that's how it feels right now.
Okay.
Things are going to turn real quick.
All right.
So he's also claimed to have been in contact with aliens for decades, at least dating back to like the 1940s. Most of them that he talks to
How old is he?
He is old as shit.
Oh, okay.
And he's got a giant beard. I'm shocked he's not dead, quite frankly.
Right.
Most of the people he talks to, or aliens he talks to, are of the Pleiadian persuasion.
Of course.
The website BillyMeyerUFOResearch.com has an amazing archive of his transcribed conversations with these aliens. And not surprisingly, what you find is a veritable goldmine of fraudulent predictions and prophecies.
Okay.
Mixed in with things that never happened or came to pass are predictions he claims were made in, like, for example, 1975, about a thing that was supposed to happen in 1977, but the prediction mysteriously was never printed until 1995.
It happens.
Yeah, so there's just tons of stuff like that.
Well, what he did was he wrote it on an envelope in invisible ink and then put it in a bank deposit box. That way he wouldn't alter the future as it occurred,
right,
since he knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
The bank lost it, as is when they were exchanging one of their vaults.
All the time.
When the bank was like, oh, we got to upgrade this vault, they lost this invisible ink envelope.
Could be.
And then he found it in 95 when the Pleiadians
phased
into, this is awesome. I got the phase.
So what do you think about Billy Meyer so far?
He's great.
Okay. Also,
he's a winner.
Also, Billy Meyer claims to be an avatar of the great prophets in the lineage of Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Jesus, Muhammad.
Yeah.
And then Billy Meyer.
Wait, it's those?
That's it.
That's the ones?
That's the list.
That's the ones.
Yep.
He hit them all.
He claims that a German guy sent him a fragment of a text he'd bought in the Egyptian black market that said, quote, I am the herald of truth. And in this mission, I will once again, amongst important times, be by the names of Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, which is Jesus.
Yes.
Muhammad, Billy.
Billy.
It literally says...
It says Billy.
Yeah.
It says Billy.
It says Billy.
He thinks he bought a thing from the Egyptian black market that just says Billy on it.
It says Billy.
All right.
All those names in a row, Muhammad, Billy. So I shall serve the people as prophet seven times until their way of thinking changes to that of the heated creation's law and directives.
Right.
Billy showed this fragment to the Pleiadians, who were astounded and confirmed it to be accurate at about 8,500 years old.
Absolutely. Accurate. 8,500 years old.
This guy.
You know what's crazy is there is Siddhartha, Gautama,
sure.
So many Buddhas, and then Jim.
Jim.
He's a great Buddha.
Jim is even less offensive because Billy is so like colloquial.
Yeah, that's true.
It's so familiar.
That's true.
Billy. You imagine a papyrus text from 8,500 years ago that says Billy. I don't even think that was a term for goats 8,500 years ago.
Oh, man.
So.
You know, the next, they've already kind of, that this is on the down low. But the next Dalai Lama, Davy the Dalai Lama.
Aiden.
Yep. Braden. Aiden Braden is actually his full name.
The point of this though, dude, is that like behind the ostensibly harmless UFO fund, Billy Meyer is running a doomsday cult.
Right.
He tells his followers that the end times are near, and his clearly fake photos and videos are the proof, that he is the one that the all-powerful aliens have chosen to guide humanity towards survival.
Good call.
Needless to say, he's scared a lot of people and is now super-duper rich in his old age in Switzerland.
Why do they always get rich?
They get rich because...
Why do they always get rich?
Because it's easy when you're scaring people.
I want to be evil, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
Can we be evil? We could be so rich if we were evil.
Can't do it.
God, we would be so rich if we were evil.
So we don't need to talk about who the Templars are. Or
hell we don't.
Not in this case.
Oh, okay.
Maybe another day.
All right.
But all that other stuff leads to him talking about the cavers.
The cavers.
Which I don't think you've ever heard
about. Never heard of the cavers.
I don't know if I should tell you all of what's going on, so I'll just give you broad strokes.
Okay.
Broad strokes.
Caves?
Steve?
Caves.
Steve.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
He believes that there's an underground city.
Who does it?
Underneath the Getty Museum.
But wait, why the Getty Museum?
Because J. Paul Getty, the guy who created it, was knighted. I think that's his big piece of evidence.
Sure.
I don't know. It's
so caves.
Well, we'll get to his reasoning a little bit later, but he believes.
I really feel like you just nailed the entire reasoning behind it.
That's a big piece of it.
But okay.
He believes that there's an underground city of, aliens and demons and what have you underneath, the Getty Museum. The people who run it are the cavers.
Of course.
And they are who, like, the Illuminati and all of them actually report to. So, like, the cavers are higher up. This is him, this is his way of trying to pull rank. On all the people who-
Fuck you with your bullshit Illuminati. They don't even come close to the top of the food chain,
right,
man.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Cavers.
The Illuminati's just the foot soldiers of the cavers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotcha.
So, Jordan.
Yes.
You're probably curious about what some of the stuff that, when Steve was at these cowboy agencies, what he was working on. You're probably curious about that. No?
No, I'm more curious.
No,
I'm more curious
head, no.
about why they call themselves. Do they call themselves the cavers?
We're going to learn all of this stuff.
Because I feel like spelunkers would be a better.
All of this stuff will become clear in due time. Here is what he was working on.
Okay.
I was still involved with the CIA again, but this was for another project involving a big giant flashlight we call the plasma beam. And then eventually, of course, at least three times I had people coming along who I don't really know who the hell they were. Actually, two of them turned out to be Reptoid.
Oh boy.
Oh no, those Reptoids!
They're trying to invade
They're
our giant flashlight work.
I was working on a, big giant flashlight.
This flashlight was huge.
You could stop there, sir.
Do you ever,
go away.
Do you ever see a flashlight?
Yeah.
This one's huge.
How big?
So big.
So big?
So big that aliens are involved.
What could they possibly need that flashlight for?
Because their planet.
That they don't already have.
Why did they come here? Their planet's too dark. Need a giant flashlight. Aim from Earth to light that baby up.
Is that really what is going on?
No, I have no idea. He does bring back up the
Why do they need a giant flashlight?
He brings back up the giant flashlight another time, but it, like, the context of it is never fleshed out. He never explains what it was for, who wanted
what
a giant flashlight.
What could you need a giant flashlight for?
It seems like in the world of flashlights, we've been working towards making them smaller. Generally speaking, it seems like there's more utility in a small flashlight.
A perhaps portable flashlight.
Especially when you're in caves. But I don't know. So there's aliens.
Yeah, because you definitely couldn't fit a giant flashlight in your cave. You're already wasting so much space.
That would take up most of the opening.
Also, the Getty endowment cannot cover giant flashlights. I'll tell you that right now.
I'll tell you this: the Getty endowment doesn't come up.
Okay.
just the museum and how there's a city under it.
Okay.
So at this point, we get to learn a little bit more about these aliens he was working with.
Yes.
Couple of the people that I talk about in that book, one of them, a guy whose name was Vince. And Vince was like a handler, and he died. He was a caver. He was like a caver handler. He was the one that first came up with the word caver. And he was one of them. He was
very
like the guy that
guy,
worked
Vince.
Underground and all that. But he came to me when I was working with the CIA doing the big flashlight project.
There we go again.
And he acted like he was like a marketing guy. He wanted to come and help me market this project, but he was a handler. It became very easily, actually from day one, I knew there was something weird about him because he didn't speak the good of English. His English was, he used words to the wrong words at the wrong time.
Like you.
Too often and just, you know, like, this one of the big clues when you meet these guys that aren't really human or haven't been human for very long is that they'll do things like they haven't been doing it for very long, and the language, of course, is one of the clues.
So that could just be foreigners.
So literally anybody who doesn't speak the best English.
Yeah, someone who
gotcha.
Anybody who English is their second language,
or just suspect. Somebody from the South.
No, hey now,
screw up the language really bad, or they'll get really excited about the skin They're not used. They're the being in the skin is something new. It's a new experience, so that they're all running around. Oh, wow! This is such a great experience. I really like this skin. You know, do that again. That kind of a thing. That's usually a giveaway.
That's a good sign.
But this particular guy, Vince, I hate to go in segues. Anyway, they killed him. I think they killed him because he told me too much. He talked. He's the one that came up with the caver stuff, and he talked about the undergrounds and things.
But
and
they
killed
kill
him
you.
In New York. Gave him a heart attack.
So they gave him a heart attack.
Yeah.
So also, so basically his criteria for alien person is...
don't speak good English.
So that could be there. They just don't speak English very well, or maybe...
They like having skin.
I'm thrilled with my skin.
I'm feeling pretty good.
I think the alternative is not great.
It's not a bad sign, though, if somebody starts running around saying, man, I love having this skin. That is suspicious.
Or,
I will give him that.
Or someone might have dosed him with some X.
That's true.
Someone might, or they might be a raver. They could be rave people.
Here's what I need to get. Here's what I, if I had a question to ask him specifically, it would be this. You're contending that Vince the Caver.
Vince who came up with the caver stuff.
Who was a caver? He did call him a caver, though.
Yeah, he was.
Okay,
yeah.
So he called him Vince, the super creative guy who came up with calling people who live in caves cavers, came to him as a caver handler and first acted like he was coming to this guy with marketing advice
for the giant
the big giant flashlight.
Presumably, yes.
What is your marketing plan for the big giant flashlight?
Hey, is your flashlight too small? We can help you.
What else
we can help you
be?
With that? I don't know. But see,
is this you? Ugh, I can't see into space.
Here's why this is brilliant, though, because because he's laid just enough track to make it, like, not believable, certainly.
Oh, of course not.
But, like, for someone like Carrie, she can walk along with this because he's laid out, like, I was working on this, this project, and then I met this guy, and all this, and like, he's not drawing straight lines between things.
Right.
So he could be saying, like, I was working on some other project and this guy is helping me market it, but I keep bringing up this giant flashlight because there's another thing I was working on or something.
Right.
There's enough, there's enough, like, confusion as to, like, pronoun reference.
Right,
and stuff
right.
That he can just be like, that's what, that wasn't
what
I was talking
about. I was working on da 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 da.
Yeah. So,
have you ever thought to yourself, why is it that I can't see Venus all day, every day? Well, you, sir, need a big giant flashlight.
Right.
It, with 28 million easy payments of $28 million.
Sure.
You can get a flashlight that spans the entire size of Illinois. And God damn it if you can't see all the goddamn planets in the sky.
So, here is how, Steve knew something was up. Beyond the guy loving skin and not speaking all that great English. Here is him explaining how he knew, like, these guys, they're for real.
Took his skin off?
He had clearance that doesn't make any sense for a normal person, so that was pretty clear to me.
But
what does that even fucking mean?
He's good at making stuff up.
What is that? He has clearance that doesn't make sense for a normal person?
That just means he's saying stuff like he's pretending to have access to, like, deep information, like all of Carrie's guests. Like anybody who talks to Alex Jones.
Yeah,
all of them are, it's that stolen valor for intelligence agencies. It's that thing. So he's like impressed by this guy's ability to bullshit, basically. That's how I would read it.
See, what I hear is somebody who has clearance that no human being should ever experience. Which suggests to me, who is giving clearance? Is all clearance coming from cavers? And so human beings do not have any clearance, really.
Clearance flows uphill from the cavers. Yes,
okay.
That's
all right. All right.
But
okay.
Hold on, this clip's not done.
Okay.
To be that he really was some sort of CIA or something or other, but he never came out and said that. But the first day I met him, he said something about silver. He didn't even use the word silver. He used non-ferrous metal. But I knew he was talking about silver. But
of course, you know, non-iron metal means silver.
So
that's just math.
I don't understand how that sets off alarm bells. This guy, he never said he was CIA, but I knew he was because
he had clearance that no mortal being should ever experience.
And he was talking about non-ferrous metals, which means he's CIA
silver.
And he's talking about silver.
Of course.
Colloidal silver.
Where else would you find silver?
In Alex Jones's fucking InfoWars store. There's a lot of parallels that I'm going to draw between Alex and this guy today.
I'm starting to see the signs coming.
This guy is one of the more InfoWars-y adjacent people in Project Camelot world, and it would do us a lot of benefit to recognize some of the pieces and how similar they are.
So far, what I'm hearing from this guy is that he's a far more like usually the crazies that we get on Project Camelot have a everybody else is doing all the fighting and all that stuff, and we're focused on expanding humanity. Mm-hmm. And it seems like this guy is more interested in being like, oh, I'm about to kill some. You know,
he does.
Like he's like the guy he's like the blood guy.
I don't want to say too much.
Okay.
I don't want to say too much.
I just get the vibe from him that he thinks he's the great warrior.
Oh.
Not like just a guy who's trying to go to space. Like he's like, I'm on the front lines fighting space battles for you.
Yes. Okay. He does think that.
All right.
He does think that, hard. And it's crazy. But here, in this next clip, we find out how did Steve wake up? How did he, snap out of that programming where he's like a happy-go-lucky guy just working for the CIA after being...
Was it all that 2012 stuff?
It's not. It's before that. And I don't know how the timeline works on this, but, I don't know. This might be when he was working on that flashlight.
At what point did you kind of sort of go down the rabbit hole? And wasn't it your brother?
Yeah, the brother was definitely involved, but when you talk about going down the rabbit hole, you know, you talk about the Getty. Let's just say that the big wake up, which is everybody, they think about the wake up moment was sitting across the desk from the guy, from the NSA guy, when they started telling me about slaughtering a village of people in Honduras in the middle of the jungle. And that's when I kind of snapped and realized that I was working for people who weren't that nice and were capable of killing everything in a village. And I was really naive at that time because I thought we were one nation under God and we didn't do those things. And it was the bad guys that did those things. And I thought, you know, my God, the children and people in the village, there's obviously they didn't deserve to have that happen, especially their animals and everything. That's when I really snapped, was when they told me about killing all the animals.
Weird.
That's a strange.
Also, this.
I mean, that's John Wickian. Who gives a shit if you kill a bunch of people? You killed his dog, man.
This guy was fucking alive during Vietnam. What is going on?
That didn't wake him up.
But yeah, I mean, like.
Also, it was the System of a Down song, I believe, that woke him up.
No, that was, Disturbed.
Yeah.
That wakes people up. It's so loud.
Ock, ock!
Watch a little bit of makeup. I don't know. I think that if someone were to say that to me, I would say you were living a very blissfully ignorant life before that.
Right.
But good.
Also,
good
you were working for the CIA and the NSA as a subcontractor, and this guy was the first time you were like, wait a second, I might be one of the baddies.
Just because some guy was like, haha, we killed pigs in Honduras.
As he's eating a bacon sandwich, but just also, like, wait, you can't kill pigs. Oh.
But also the flip side of that's super weird, is like, he's mad about killing people, but seems to be, like, twice in that clip he mentions killing the animals is like, how could they do that? Like, alright, whatever.
Hey man.
Whatever.
Could have joined PETA, could have joined the NSA, could have gone either way.
So,
no big deal.
So we heard there Carrie bringing up, like, wasn't it your brother? And now.
Yes. Where did the brother come in? Does he have a brother?
He apparently has a brother. I can't prove it, but.
That's the thing about these guys, is that you have to prove literally everything. Otherwise, I don't believe he has a brother.
Yeah, that's suspicious. but in this next clip, we find out about his brother, a guy named Jim, who's another guy.
Was mentioned in a, artifact recovered from Egyptian black marketeers.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And then, like, this story just. This is so convoluted. Like, I don't even know how to describe it, but this is where we start to get into, like, him bringing in the Getty story, and what the actual beats of it are.
Okay.
And this is just nonsense.
As I went through the processes of learning all these things and getting hooked up to Billy Meyer and all this stuff.
Again, Billy Meyer.
My brother on everything. And what happened is that he has a friend named Don who worked with another guy named Jim. And Jim was a gifted accountant, CPA, but he also, his gifted. Father was a high-ranking, high-level Mason. And
Masons need accountants
too.
They
killed the father. And then when they killed the father, they came to Jim, and they basically handed him the keys to the kingdom, which involved a box of Cuban cigars.
Okay.
A big expensive house.
Yep.
The job of trust fund manager for the Getty Museum.
Another box of cigars.
And a whole bunch of other perks.
Yep.
But, these things, you know, you gotta understand, it's like, there is magic involved.
Okay. Whoa, that took a harsh turn.
It did.
That was the keys to the kingdom seem very small.
Yeah.
In the box of cigars, nice house, mm-hmm. a menial job at the Getty Museum.
Right.
A whole bunch of other perks, and also magic.
Well, we'll get to what he means by the magic stuff here okay. in a second, but.
All right.
I love, first of all, Don and Jim.
I'm loving the names.
They just don't come back up, really. His brother does come back up. His brother went on a tour of the Getty Museum and right. saw a door right. that was weird and apparently caused a big fracas because he's like, right. why is that bomb door
Well,
in
there's
here?
Cavers. I'm loving the names in the story so far. We got Vince the Caver.
Right.
Don. We got Don. We got Jim. Mm-hmm. We got Steve.
Yep.
Like, these are all the most mundane white dude names for a secret global conspiracy that has been going on since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
Love
so,
it.
We'll get to this. I want to tell you a lot about Steve, but before we get there, just because he brought it up in that last clip, let's let him explain what he means by that magic stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I want to know what
everything
the magic
is about bloodline. Everything is destiny because you got to remember you're talking about people that have looking glass technology.
White.
And they know what you're going to do before you do it. These people knew that I was going to invent a 3-beam laser before I was even in the business. And they sat and waited for it. And when the day came that I finally actually invented it and designed it, was sitting there at the drafting table drawing it, they were standing behind me over my shoulder watching me do it. And I knew it.
You should
you
lock
know,
your
because
doors.
Because you get, you know, you can start to, you get good and you learn those things. But this is the other thing is that it's all about the psychic skill. All right. As you know this. And
sure. And didn't you become a remote viewer?
We'll get into that here in a few.
Thanks, Gary.
So.
Thanks, Gary. Put us back on track.
So I wanted to learn more about Steve.
And the 3-beam lasers.
Kelly.
Steve and the 3-beam lasers.
Because he created this laser and what have you, and I was like, I want to find out what I can learn about it.
Which we know is a lot like light.
All of the bios that you can find for Steve on Project Camelot style websites are all exactly the same.
Okay.
And they're all clearly written by him. They just repeat what he says about himself.
Of course.
Like he's a CIA,
right.
Attaché or whatever.
Caver.
However, if you find these bios,
animal lover,
they give you the name of his laser company,
uh-huh.
which is SK Industries, which gave me the jump-off point I needed to learn more.
And now the research.
So,
oh shit!
With this
is gonna be, I'm gonna sit back. I'm just gonna let this wash over me.
So, with this information, I was able to dig up that on August 2nd, 2000. Stephen D. Kelly filed for Chapter 7 bankruptcy, which is liquidation,
yes.
of his company SK Industries, reflecting assets of $5,750 and liabilities of $12,661.
That's not a lot.
That is such a low-stakes laser
not
company.
That's a lot for a laser company.
No.
I don't even know if you could build a hand laser with it, like a little pen laser with that little money.
Now, I'll grant that like $5,750 in assets is reasonable if you're an unsuccessful company. But $12,000 in liabilities is very low for any kind of company
yeah.
that ends up in Chapter 7. You usually end up with much higher amounts than that.
It sounds like he declared bankruptcy because his dad gave him a loan.
It's
like 12 grand, like his dad took out a home equity loan and he was like, I can't pay this back, pops.
I have other suspicions, and that is that like, I'm just gonna do this without a company.
Right.
That sort of thing. I'm gonna walk away from this and just liquidate it. So through this filing that I was able to find, you're able to find the address of his company. And I was able to cross-reference that for any information that might come up. I was able to find a Yelp page with one review on it.
God, I love you, Dan. What?
This review is from November 4th, 2010, and it reads, quote, crook, exclamation point.
That's it?
Stay away from this guy. Okay. He will take your money and part/firearm and won't return it either. He won't return phone calls or emails. He has a history of ripping off the public. Consider yourself warned. So, if it turns out...
Ripping off the public how? With what? Also, why did firearm show up in the mix there?
Steve was selling weapons and weapon accessories.
That's not good.
That's what he was in the business of.
When he said he will take your part/firearm, what he meant was this guy, Steve, was like, hey, I'm going to put a laser on your gun.
Yes.
And then he just kept the gun.
And probably sold the gun.
Okay.
So if you look a little bit deeper, you come across a bunch of threads on gun enthusiast message boards. One of them.
Why are you?
One of them begins, quote, has anyone done business with the laser manufacturer called SK Industries? I sent him, and then parentheses, Steve Kelly, an HK-53 forearm and $350 to mount his laser system 3 months ago. Now he's dropped off the radar. So this person's concerned that he has just been bamboozled by Steve.
Right, which is what he has done.
And then so the responses are telling. The first one, yeah, I sent him $300 for an IR laser and he never sent it. I should have caught on when he was screening his calls, but I wanted the laser so bad. I sent him the money anyway. Of course, he never answered another call. Another one, quote, I sent him money for a laser in October. After he got the money, he stopped replying to emails, and after a few phone calls, he stopped answering my calls. He seems to be a very nice individual to talk to, but it would seem he has no intention of supplying the products he advertises. Another one.
Well, that's a really nice guy.
Another one. These are all different people, too.
It's a really, if you still get a shout out to how nice you are after you stole a guy's money, you're a nice guy.
Quote, 7 months, no reply, unable to get any response from him. Then the last one. Quote, Steve Kelly burned me, too. I sent an MP5 dual laser in for repair, plus the Surefire 4-end light assembly, and he kept it. I'm out over $1,000 from this punk. He would not communicate in any way. I sent a buddy over to his business just to get it back, and the coward wouldn't even come to the door. This asshead has a lot of bad karma. Buyer beware. So he has a deep history, it appears, of at least going back to... these reviews are all generally from the, like, 2008, 2009 period of time. So he had this SK Industries that liquidated in 2000.
Of course.
And then he appeared to be doing some shady dealings, selling weapons and what have you. And then it sort of caught up to him on some message boards. People,
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm kind of fine with defrauding guys who want gun lasers.
I don't think I want these people having gun lasers.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, I'm pretty big on non-scams. You know, like I'm pretty big on when you say you're going to do something, you do it as a business.
But the guy who, if you're a guy who just randomly Googles, who can put a laser on my gun? I'm kind of fine with you losing your gun. I'm super fine with it.
But I think that he probably gets boosted credibility from, I don't know, hold on, I'm not entirely sure if his career as a truth teller overlaps with his career as a gun scam artist. I think that something happened in the late 2000s that led him to adopt a new career as someone who might end up on Kerry Cassidy's show.
9/11.
Okay. This is my working theory that the timeline of his life is such that he got in some trouble.
Okay. All right, let's hear this.
But then also, like, I've found a bunch of other stuff, and I can't really... I don't think it's him, but there's another guy named Steve Kelly who owns a company called SK Knives. And, like, it's SK Industries, SK Knives, Steve Kelly.
Right,
but the Steve Kelly who owns SK Knives is spelled K-E-L-L-Y, whereas he is spelled K-E-L-L-E-Y.
Okay.
It doesn't appear to be the same person, but it's so wild that someone would be selling weapons
right.
with this, such a similar business name.
Do all Steve Kellys sell weapons?
They must.
If you are a Steve Kelly who listens to this show, please send us an email, knowledgefight@gmail.com, and let us know what weapons you sell.
So,
and do you make lasers for knives?
So this is the preliminary stuff I was able to figure out about him. It's sort of like his career.
Uh-huh.
And then the other things I was able to find about him, which is, this is really super fascinating to me. I found his Twitter, and I was scrolling.
Of course he has a Twitter. Never mind. Of course he has a Twitter.
I was scrolling through his Twitter stream, and what you see is essentially a version of all of Alex Jones's narratives, but without the fear of being sued.
Uh-huh.
Instead of vaguely saying the globalists want your kids, Steve will tweet something about how they literally eat your children.
Of course.
Instead of just saying, like, making a lie up about that California law about decriminalizing HIV.
Right.
He just says that Governor Brown of California wants to give people AIDS because he's secretly gay. Parenthetical in my own notes, he's been married to a woman for 13 years.
Nah. Secret.
Also, he'll tweet out stuff like a Russia Insider article with headlines like, quote, Khazarian Jews who run U.S. foreign policy are the swamp. Whereas Alex will just sort of hint at that's what he thinks.
Yeah.
Steve is willing to actually come out and say, fuck you, it's the Jews that Donald Trump is against. Get on board.
Steve isn't famous enough to get fucked over yet.
Yeah, or he doesn't have to worry about this shit.
Right.
He has like 10 followers or whatever. He has more than that, but not much more. He says all the same stuff as Alex with less filter. But what's fascinating is that along with that is a hatred of all of the InfoWars adjacent people.
All right.
He recently posted an article about how Jerome Corsi is a Mossad agent.
All right.
He hates Craig Sawyer.
Fair.
But it seems like he's fine with Alex himself. That
All
part
right.
is really
this
weird.
This is weird.
He seems to be okay with Alex.
There's a whole story here that I need to know.
I'm not entirely sure.
Ugh.
The other thing that I was able to find out is that Steve Kelly, well, he plays up his CIA credentials.
Uh-huh.
He was the one, if not the only person, he was one of the main people, one of the first people to come forward publicly and make the argument that the U.S. created ISIS.
I mean, even a crazy person nails it every now and again.
Well, but he...
Wait. Okay. You're not saying that he created the power vacuum that led to the creation of ISIS.
No.
You're saying that he believes that America actually
ISIS is
created
a shadow
ISIS.
Army for
okay.
us.
All right.
He would, he did so in interviews on the only channels that would ever have him on, Russia Today.
Of course.
And Press TV, the state-owned channel in Iran.
This guy is going on the state-owned channel in Iran.
Yep, absolutely.
All right,
He made the claim as early as 2014 on Press TV.
Nice.
The clip immediately made the rounds on the right-wing blogosphere, even being posted on the Facebook group of We Are Change, the Ron Paul-adjacent 9/11 group with deep ties to Alex Jones's past.
Of course.
There's an almost 0% chance that I would believe that Alex did not get the narrative that the U.S. created ISIS indirectly from Stephen Kelly. And... the same is probably true about Donald Trump.
Where do these fucking guys come from?
They come from giant flashlight works.
How is it? Why? Oh, God damn it. Yeah. Dan, we just got to turn heel.
Why?
We got to be evil.
I think.
We got to be evil.
Nah.
Look at how this fucker's life worked out.
Yeah, but imagine the day to day. I bet it's rough. You got weirdos who want their guns back banging on your door. You gotta keep coming up with new lies.
All right, that's true.
You know?
That's true.
I don't know. So, at this point, Carrie has asked him, hey, you're a remote viewer, right?
That's right. Why?
Here's his response.
Okay.
Sure. Didn't you become a remote viewer?
Well, you know, we're all remote viewers. We're all skilled.
Didn't you study that?
Yeah.
I didn't really study. I just had to do it. Okay. This is how it works. You want to do it, you have to ask to be able to do it. Okay? Whatever tool it is that you need to do the mission that you're doing, you have to ask for the permission. First thing you do is ask for permission to do the mission, to be part of the mission. And then you say, thank you. And then you say, please give me everything I need to complete the mission, including the protection and the tools and the skills and whatever. And so if remote viewing, it's really not that hard to do.
Okay.
I don't know.
When he
explained how to do remote viewing.
I don't think he did.
His explanation was, Well, you just got to ask to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Who? Well, to whom do you ask?
I mean, I don't believe that remote viewing is real, so I have trouble with that. But I will say that I think that psychologically what he's describing is a really effective tool. Because, like, I think that a lot of times we have ingrained blockers in terms of productivity, in terms of getting anything done. So a lot of times...
And lack of shamelessness.
Well, no, I don't even mean that. I mean, like, even in terms of, like, motivation and stuff like that. So, like, if you want to get in shape or you want to exercise or something like that, oftentimes it does help to create some sort of, like, make the declaration outside of yourself somehow.
Right.
Not, like, tell people you're going to do it, but, like... create some sort of like a mystical experience about
cavers.
Like, may I, you know, please give me the strength to exercise. Whether you call
if
it
prayer.
If
you want to lose weight, you go to the Getty Museum.
Well,
you lay an offering at the secret door.
So you're talking.
You ask politely to the cavers.
You're talking shit, and I was just trying to make a positive out of a negative.
I know. I'm sorry for being a dick again.
Well, no, there's just like there is a way to validate your own experience by pretending to externalize it, and
right.
I think that there is something valuable in that. I think you can get a lot out of it. Like I've experienced it even in the last like couple. Like month or so.
Yeah.
Like the power of, like telling yourself that you're going to remember something. Like for me,
okay.
For me, it's like, I have a very difficult time motivating myself to, when I wake up in the morning, write down my dreams.
Yes.
But it's something that I think is very valuable in terms of, the path towards being able to lucid dream again, like
yes.
I could when I was younger.
Yes.
It's very difficult to find that motivation, but somehow I've found that it's much easier if I tell myself and I make this commitment, this nonverbal commitment, as if it were to some divine authority.
Right.
I'm going to remember my dreams, or allow me to remember my dreams.
Right.
I don't think it's someone actually giving me permission to.
Right.
But there's some sort of psychological jump.
So this is kind of like the AA's surrender
yeah,
yourself
absolutely.
To a higher power
100%.
Kind of situation, even if it is a made-up nonsensical
thing. Yeah, 100%.
Thing.
There's yes. power in that.
I don't think there's even a mystery about it. Right.
Like, I don't think it's, I don't know.
There's power in surrender.
To some extent.
To some extent. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. I understand what you're coming from.
You stop worrying about it
right.
so much.
Right.
But I also don't think you can remote view, so that's a problem. I think that's all crazy.
Maybe you just haven't submitted to a power high enough yet, Dan.
That's possibly true.
Cavers. Go to the Getty Museum.
So, now we're gonna get into the Getty.
Yes.
Finally going to get into the Getty.
Thank you.
But I should tell you that as we get into this, listen to something at the beginning of this clip that is very Alex Jonesy. I'll pause it when it happens.
The bloodline is kind of a generalization because there's
white.
Different sorts of genetic. There's the
white.
There's gene memory.
Talking about white.
Race memory.
Yep.
There's gene memory.
Yep.
Cellular memory, and then there's also reincarnation, so you can have different
sure.
variations of the stuff.
Sure.
But the thing about my brother is for quite some time,
my brother Don,
during this recruitment process when we were briefing Jim, I mean, somewhere into the process where we were briefing Jim, they realized that Jim was getting briefed. And it was when...
So real quick,
during the process of us briefing Jim,
Jimmy,
they...
The cavers.
The cavers realized we were briefing Jim.
Yes.
We probably might have just told them.
Make no mistake. He hasn't explained more of what he means by this. I'm not throwing you in the deep end.
Okay.
But so here.
We had the first remote viewer go down there into the Getty and see what was down there. They knew that happened because these guys have like one of the first levels that you run into when you go down there is kind of like a Hogwarts, if you will. It's like a university for people, super soldiers. Okay, it's a super soldier university, sort of magician, black arts, so the whole nine yards, all that stuff. And their job is to go do all these magical things, but at the same time, they're also acting as security. They're supposed to prevent people like me or whoever from going down there and causing trouble.
Yep.
Now, they're not always able to do anything. They're certainly able to see you, but they alerted. Okay, so in other words, when we first made that first excursion down there, almost immediately, alarm bells went off and they all knew that this happened and we were confronted. This is when things got really serious.
No, it didn't. They absolutely didn't.
I don't understand. So that, if I understand correctly, the timeline is they were briefing Jim.
Right.
All right.
That means they're just talking to him.
They're like, hey, Jim, check right. this shit out.
Hey, Jim, I had a weird thought.
Yeah. All right. So Jim is briefed.
Yep.
And then they're like, shit, we got to remote view this place.
Yes.
So they go to the first remote viewer.
Which I should say is actually a lady, we find out.
Oh, well, that's gender diversity is great.
I found this out because I watched another lecture of his. Find out it's a lady who also might be a witch.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. So the remote viewer gets down into the Getty, gets only to the first level, a university very similar to Hogwarts that trains both super soldiers.
Well.
Similar to the movie Soldier and
or
Black Magic Witches as well as
I should tell you.
And of so, course, the whole nine yards, which I think essentially means everything.
Yeah, everything except for that last yard.
Right.
So I
never going to get a first down at that university.
I need to be clear.
Yes.
He's never been to the Getty.
Does he say he's never been to the Getty?
Yeah. They've just had
he's never even been there.
They've just had remote viewers go down there and make stuff up. So I watched this lecture.
Why would he go? He doesn't need to. He's already seen it all.
I watched this lecture that he gave about the Getty from 2012. and
from the 2012-12-12.
It was from a convention. It might have been Carrie's. I don't think it was. But I'll say that we had a better audience in Austin than this. The turnout was thin at this this convention. And here's the things I learned about the Getty from that.
Yeah.
The first level down, when you go
yes.
in, because you got to get past the security doors
university.
And what have you.
Yeah.
It's not a university, according to his lecture in 2012.
Okay.
It's the first level is full of Nazi remote viewers who are there to stop other remote viewers from getting in. Quote, they're not very good at it, though, he says as he laughs to himself, and the audience does not join in his laugh. He's just sitting there like, they're not very good, though. Oh, God, it made me so fucking uncomfortable. But there's Nazi remote viewers at the first level. Now, hold on. The second level.
Don't understand.
The second level is
a
decadent spa covered in gold.
Okay.
There. There. Unimaginable depravity goes on. It's just like,
of course,
it's like bacchanalias.
Do they allow the Nazis in on the weekends?
I think there's some Nazis involved, but not the Nazi remote viewers. They have to stay on the first level.
I mean, that's unfair.
They're employees.
Look, even Nazi remote viewers deserve labor rights.
They're employees.
You should be allowed to enjoy the bacchanalia.
You don't go to the fucking gold spa. So, after this point.
What's the third level?
After that, his details get real murky.
Turns out the Nazi remote viewers are a little bit better at security than you think.
The next level is full of elevators, question mark? Unclear.
Elevators, question mark.
There are condos for the rich down there, and he even says this, which I find dubious. This is a quote.
Uh-huh.
Half of the gross domestic product of the country goes into building these condos. That seems high.
So that's like what? $1.1 trillion? Something like that?
It's quite a bit.
That's a lot for a condo.
Seems like literally everything else that's done would be impossible if that
right.
were the case.
Well, it's weird. You think that Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid make up two-thirds of the national budget, but that's not true.
Uh-huh.
It's underground caver condos.
Absolutely. So below the living areas are a bunch of tube trains that go to various Air Force bases.
Of course.
Research centers and, let me check my notes here, Catalina Island.
That's my favorite part is always the weird detail. They always throw in one very specific weird detail.
No explanation for why one of the tube trains goes to a popular honeymoon destination. A resort island.
There's always one detail.
So I was watching this. It's crazy. Like, it's a crazy lecture. And it's actually kind of worth it. If you've ever done stand-up, it's kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because you get to watch a guy who's, like, on his home turf. He's in like a fucking UFO magic convention or whatever.
Still bomb.
Oh God, he bombed so
hard.
Oh
man.
You can feel the audience leave him at about the 15, 20 minute mark. And you could just see you could feel the energy sucked out of the room entirely.
Yeah.
And just him walking around with his shitty ponytail. Like, oh no, I gotta really impress these people. He's supposed to talk about the Getty. He only talks about it for maybe like 10 minutes of his 35, 40 minute lecture. Most of it's just rambling about how things could be better. Like, yeah, okay, whatever.
All right.
So his proof that he gives about the Getty, and that he's been there and shit like that, I don't understand why, because he says that he hasn't been there. He's just remote viewed it. He says that he has a lot of pictures of the place, but that he can't show any of them because they're copyrighted, but he has them.
What?
That means that he has pictures of the art, maybe?
That is the weakest of teas, sir.
Well, the Getty...
Sir!
The Getty Museum...
I reject your weak tea.
The Getty Museum is full of art and stuff like that, so maybe he has pictures of paintings and stuff and he can't show those.
What?
That doesn't even make sense.
You can... What? I can text you a photo of me in front of a fucking painting?
Yeah, totally.
That's fine?
Yeah, it's garbage. It's hot garbage. But it's a good... I mean, it plays in the room. And then, so his only-
Do the cavers control copyright laws is my next question.
I thought it was Disney,
but apparently that's not the case.
It actually is, caver right, not copyright.
Ooh, that's
what
nice.
That's in that scene. Yeah. So his other piece of physical evidence, and I will say this, he offers no other physical evidence than pictures he can't show, and then he pulls out of his pocket a parking ticket.
That sells it.
That he says comes from some point in 2000 something, and that he's claiming is from before the museum is open, like during the day.
Okay.
And that it says EM, and that means employee. I don't know that EM means employee. I don't know what that, I don't give a shit. He also says that it's from 10:30, and that's before the museum opens, because he says it opens at 11. According to the internet, the Getty Museum opens at 10.
Doesn't it open?
It opens at 10. So I don't know what that means.
So wait, it's a parking ticket or like a cop gave him a ticket?
No, I think
or
it's like a cha-chunk ticket.
Oh, okay, okay.
Like a parking pass kind of ticket, but it's still like a little piece of paper that at that point would have been 10 years old. I don't know. It doesn't prove anything to me. Anyway.
What it proves is he's a weird dude for carrying that around with him all the time.
You don't need that to prove that he's a weird dude.
No, I was on board with everything else, but up until this point, now I'm out.
So he sent this lady witch that we've discovered
right.
from other materials, who was the remote viewer down there, and then
her name is Jane.
The Hogwarts Nazi level that is before the spa caught her, and it set off all sorts of alarms, and that
you just wrote the greatest fan fiction I've ever heard, which is Hogwarts Nazis.
And that, Jordan, is where things got serious.
Yes, that's when it got serious.
They feared for their lives, but things went a different way.
What happened, instead of trying to kill us, this is when they actually tried to recruit us. By this time, obviously, they realized that Jim was dealing with some people on the outside that were trouble. And they confronted him and they said, you stop dealing with those people right now. And he said, no, you want me on your team. This is my team. These people are my people. And if you want me, my people come with me.
Are you following that so far?
I'm not sure. Isn't Jim just being briefed on this?
No, this is a little bit after all that briefing. I don't fucking know.
Okay.
What he's saying is that the cavers, they know Jim. They're hanging with Jim.
Why are they hanging with Jim? Because anyways, I'll skip that part.
Jim,
we'll just move on from
Jim
that.
Jim may or may not be that accountant who's involved with the cavers.
Again, a talented accountant.
So he's, because he also, his dad was a Mason and he got the keys to the kingdom, which was a box
right.
of cigars.
Box of cigars.
What have you. Who knows?
Nice house. Right. Magic.
Oh yeah. And job with the Getty.
So, exactly.
So he was on the inside.
So he does it. Yeah. No, I'm following.
So the cavers are like, you're working with some weirdos.
Yes.
And
yes.
he's like, yeah, but they're my weirdos. You want me, you take them.
And they're like, we are controlling the Illuminati. What bargaining power do you think you have, Jim?
Jim is...
Oh, are you that talented of an accountant?
This is like that scene that you have in so many movies where it's like the gang wants one guy and you got to bring my nerdy friend in.
Right.
If you want me or whatever.
Right.
And that
Except the nerdy friend is Jim, who's a CPA.
This doesn't happen in the real world. What happens in the real world is the gang kills your friend and then it's like, you're in.
that was the way he approached it. So they said, fine. So then they went into a recruitment effort. So the first thing they tried to do, again, they thought my brother was me because they were trying to figure out who it was that was supplying with all this information. And they ran all sorts of tests on him, psychic testing and sort of thing. And my brother, of course, is psychic. He's not quite as developed as I am.
But of course.
There was enough there for them to think they had something going on. And the first thing they do is they offer a military rank. They give you a rank of, say, like a major or something like that. Air Force major. They give that a rank. And that's a, they do that so that they've got you contractually. You can't, you know, divulge secrets. They can throw you in Leavenworth or something after that. But it was sometime after that they found out that it was actually me. We were having dinner. And they, this is when the guy, trust fund manager guy to get, he realized it was actually, I was the one they were looking for. And they told my brother that he was a pale shadow of me, which is something he'll never forgive me for. But anyway, so it's okay. This is the thing. It's like a Neo thing. All right. That very same night, he also told me that I would be the one to destroy them and that this would be through an assault on the Getty. And when this was actually, when he told me that, I was also in a very militaristic mood. I was in the gun business. I was, in the advanced weapon development and training. And I actually was, I'm not going to say I had a militia, but let's just say I had a lot of young guys underneath me who were of that nature.
Sounds like you got a militia.
It was an orgy, Dan. He's got a lot of young guys coming under him.
That is fucking scary as shit.
So there's a lot to unpack there psychologically.
Perhaps too much.
There is one, that dude is so jealous of his brother.
Undoubtedly.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another one of those weird things. They always throw in that weird, like, there's always the weird detail of like, oh, and it goes to the fucking island of Catalina. Sure. Why not? Also, my brother isn't as psychic as me, so I don't know why my parents love him more than they do me. I fucking love you guys too. Look at me. I've been stealing guns.
Sure.
That's what I can bring psychic powers all over the place.
I'm damn good at it.
I'm so good at it.
Yeah. So
and then also, underground cavers who control the Illuminati.
Yes.
And the entire world.
All of it.
Are still offering military rank in order to avoid throwing you in Leavenworth prison.
Seems like it'd be very easy to disappear you. Like it wouldn't.
Like you literally are in a cave.
Yeah. You're in an underground city. It doesn't matter.
Why would you send somebody all the way back up and be like, all right, so they've seen our underground cave that no one has ever seen before and that they can never come back to, but we're going to put them in Leavenworth.
There is definitely an in for a penny, in for a pound thing going
right?
on here.
Come on, man.
But then also, it's really funny. I don't have any clips of this, but back when he was talking about the reptiles that he used to work with, he's like, they kept trying to lure me to Area 51.
They kept trying to lure.
But I've heard.
Lure.
But I've heard that if you go there, you never come out. Like, fuck off. Get the fuck
out of here. Actually, they said they have an underground tunnel to Leavenworth.
They absolutely do.
There's one to Leavenworth, one to Catalina. They go both ways.
The thing that we don't need to unpack is that Steve was running a fucking militia.
Yeah. I thought we were going to unpack the dog whining in the background.
Oh, no, that's Carrie's dog. She keeps saying, like, I'm sorry. I can't.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's a little annoying.
Carrie's dog is like, this is bullshit. Stop it.
This guy's lying.
This guy's full of shit.
Even the dog knows.
Oh, man. That would be a great episode of Lassie.
I would like to unpack that more, but at the same time, I realize that, like, what? Project Camelot has shitty production values? Great. Great.
Yeah, we nailed it. Again. We got him.
So, in this next clip, we get Steve, blowing hard.
Steve!
And revealing, a very Alex Jonesy mentality about himself. Remember in this clip, all the times Alex Jones has said that I could have been one of them.
Oh,
that sort
easily.
Of thing.
Easily. They offer it all the time.
In this clip, we see Steve embody that.
I've given up this whole elitist underground Masonic, we're gods on earth thing to try to save the people on the surface because we don't deserve to be treated like expendable cattle.
You're
like
right.
That's what they think of us. So I've given all up for everybody else, but now we're actually winning because as I've said so many times, if we actually can occupy the Getty and we actually can open that Pandora's box, I don't even have to tell you what's down there, because once that box gets open, we will have paradise on Earth.
Paradise.
We'll have free energy, no pollution, green food, no more chemtrails, vaccines.
Sure.
You name it.
So all of that is very much like Alex, especially the last part, you name it.
Yep.
Which is one of Alex's verbal
tics. What else you got?
That leads me to believe that it's possible that Steve even listens to InfoWars.
Oh, yeah,
the
absolutely.
The idea that he's like, all this, you name it.
Hey,
also vaccines.
What's your thing? We don't want vaccines. We don't want chemtrails. What do you got? Your fear?
I mean, we already have green food.
Toss a little fear in there. What do you feel like one?
But also,
and if I didn't name your fear, you can tell that it's in the,
it's in there. It's down
it's
there.
It's in the, it's whatever you name it.
It's down there. You
yeah.
name it.
Yeah.
The vaccine's very much in line with the InfoWarsian, mentality. Also, he believes that they have Tesla technology and they've, just hoarded it down there. He proves that in no way.
Like Nikola Tesla or Elon Musk Tesla?
Nikola Tesla. No, I don't think, he doesn't bring up, Musk.
Cause I don't think anybody really has Tesla technology, including Elon Musk, if you see his stock price. All right.
Boy howdy.
I'm out.
Boy howdy.
That fucking guy.
What a mess.
Why would he ruin Grimes for me? You know what I'm saying?
I feel like you're, a mess. I feel like that's perhaps the least of the issues you should have with that monstrous dick.
No, Grimes.
All right, fair enough. So I told you earlier that although there are these shocking similarities to InfoWars and to Alex Jones,
yes,
he hates InfoWars people, like the actual people.
Yeah.
Here's what he has to say about Craig Sawyer.
And then now we've got guys Craig Sawyer and these idiots out in the Tucson trying to make everybody think that human trafficking is something that happens walking across the sand in the desert.
Wow.
Wait, is he talking about Backyard Brawl?
He is.
He's tossing out Backyard Brawl?
It turns out that the internet conspiracy community has turned on that and is now pretty 100% behind the idea that that is a diversion from real child trafficking, which I guess happens on boats. I'm not entirely sure, but they've turned on Sawman. Because it came up in his bio, that he has worked, as like protection detail for like Hillary Clinton and
right.
a couple other suspect people.
Right, right, right.
And so everyone's like, oh, well, he must be fucking COINTELPRO. And so now he is.
Sure.
He is a persona non grata.
I guess that's okay.
I don't know.
I don't know how to feel about that.
It's one of those.
Can't they all go away?
It's one of those things that I take no pleasure in the rats eating each other, because the ones that survive are tougher than, you
yeah.
know, like, or whatever.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
And they,
no, I know exactly what you mean.
When two con artists go up against each other and one prevails, they get a boosted false sense of credibility for having vanquished a con man.
Right.
When it just is like, I am a more reinforced con man.
Right.
I don't know. I wish they'd all shut up, but that's not an option.
It's the Highlander theory of con men.
Somewhat.
When you kill another con man, you gain their power.
Yeah.
And eventually there can be only one who experiences the quickening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't remember the actual end of that show or movie.
Well, in Highlander 2,
they
come back to life. Other
right.
ones. I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know. I was just reflecting on like the,
on Highlander?
No. I'm just like how.
Like he's from Egypt, but he has a Scottish accent. That doesn't make sense at all. And
is
why
he
is he using?
I don't think he's Egyptian.
No. The Highlander is Scottish.
Connery?
But Connery is supposed to be from Egypt.
I don't think he's supposed to be from
Egypt.
He's
supposed to be from Egypt, dude. Look it up.
Right.
It's bananas.
That'll be our next episode. But for now, we get a very rare moment
yes.
on Project Camelot.
Carrie saying, that's dumb.
The guest and Carrie Cassidy getting into a disagreement.
Ooh.
I'm just going to say that, because I know you titled this thing Alien Base. It's not an alien base. It's definitely a human-made base. However, when you consider... All right.
I actually beg to differ. It is an alien base, but
well,
it may
thing.
Be
Look,
a
just,
joint
this,
base
this
with humans.
All right. This is what's important, is that there's a satanic aspect to all of this stuff.
Right.
That's that, and people.
Right.
This is where people get confused because it's just like I did an interview earlier today, and it's they said, "Well, what's the deal with the aliens and the
what
demons?"
What is the deal with aliens?
All right, here's the
conspiracy theorists and cars getting coffee. What's the deal with aliens?
All right. What? I want to hear these. So.
How fun would it be if this guy's in a car with Jerry Seinfeld? How fun would it be if Mark Richards got a day out of prison?
Oh, God. Oh, give it to me.
Or if they just let them be guests on, like, Tonight Show.
Oh, man. Oh.
Watch Fallon try and deal with this.
Amazing. Fallon would crush these interviews. Because Fallon is essentially the mainstream Kerry Cassidy. Mm-hmm. That's really all he is. He is there to smile and make you feel like you're the greatest.
He's the low-rent Kerry Cassidy.
Exactly. He can't hold a candle to Kerry Cassidy.
No.
He probably doesn't even believe there's alien bases.
I'm not sure Kerry does at this point. She's, no, she does.
Yeah, she absolutely does. She doesn't believe they're human.
She's the one fighting back that it is.
She will admit that perhaps they are indeed satanic. But I'll be goddamned if you say that they're not alien.
No. But now we get into, as this clip goes on, a very familiar idea that we've debunked a number of times, that has its roots in blood libel and archaic anti-Semitism. We will get into it. Steve is not only into it, he takes it a step beyond and uses a really funny word.
The connection. Loosh. Human, negative human emotional psychic energy.
Right.
I might have to go back a little bit.
Loosh? Did he say loosh?
I think I accidentally jumped forward. I might have to go back. Hold on a second.
Humans.
All right, this is what's important. Is that there's a satanic aspect to all of this stuff.
Right.
This is where people get confused because it's just like I did an interview earlier today and they said, well, what's the deal with the aliens and the demons? All right, here's the connection. Loosh.
Loosh.
Human.
Loosh.
What is the connection, Dan,
loosh.
Between the aliens and the demons?
Loosh.
It's loosh.
Shut your stupid mouth.
It's loosh.
Loosh. Yeah, come on. Everyone
Are you sure
that.
It's not loosh?
Everyone
they
knows
both
that.
Enjoy. They both enjoy a little. They hate skeleton, but they love loosh.
Everyone knows it's loosh.
It's loosh.
Negative human emotional psychic energy.
Right.
That spells
right,
loosh.
This is what it's all about. Well, the people they talk about, you know, they're collecting these babies and they're stealing these humans and all this so that they can collect adrenochrome. And torture them and drink their blood and everything else. Well, yeah, they do all that.
But
there is something else that they collect, which is not of this level,
loosh.
The third level that we're on. It's actually of a higher level.
Of course.
And it is the product that is being collected from us by the higher level entities, these aliens, if you will. And they require that as nutrition.
Blood
and
diamonds.
They use the AI, which people like to call the black goo.
It was a device, actually, which is used for transitioning
this third dimensional or this product, this fourth density product from a living 3D person into this realm of the 4D where it is stored and collected. This is the sort of thing people are having a hard time understanding. Obviously, most people are not quite there. They're starting to understand. They're understanding things like adrenochrome, but they're certainly far from understanding loosh.
It's tough to understand loosh.
Dude. on these Project Camelot episodes, I love entertaining, and like trying to follow the thread on that.
To an extent.
That was a man shitting words out of his mouth and it was pathetic and he should be ashamed of himself.
You like to humor stuff to an extent that's wildly frustrating for me. because it's like, I like it to a point. Then it's like, you got it. You're like a hound dog for faking agreement with these guys.
But this is too far. It's not that it's too far. It's that he sucks at it. That was shit. Mm-hmm. That was bad. He was clearly scrambling and he was just making bullshit up.
That's why he lost the crowd 20 minutes into his lecture.
Yeah,
six years ago.
That's bad.
He has no
showmanship.
Because that's something they don't teach. apparently, in the caver world.
They don't need to. It's in the caves.
But, so what do you know about, we all know.
What do I know about Loosh? I don't know anything about Loosh.
Well, I know everything
you
about know,
there you go.
I don't know much about Loosh. It comes from a novel, a fictional book, by a guy named Robert Monroe called Far Journeys.
Okay.
And it's lived on and is retained as an idea of negative human emotions. It's the same thing Alex talks about, like, psychic vampires and stuff like that.
Is Monsters, Inc.
Yes, 100%.
It's Monsters, Inc. That's what he's describing.
They got Loosh.
Okay.
They're looking for Loosh.
Got it.
Little do they know, they could just make people laugh.
Didn't they see that movie?
Yeah.
What is wrong with the cavers?
Would have saved us a lot of trouble.
I would assume the Illuminati knew about the Monsters, Inc.
Although, to be fair, this guy is creating a lot of laughs. So, I mean, we've gone over the adrenochrome stuff before, about how people have done tests on it, about how high it can get you and
stuff
like
that.
I'm
bored with adrenochrome.
Right, and how that all dates back to blood libel,
right,
all that shit.
Now I'm excited about Loosh. I want to try some of that.
We can't. It's in the fourth dimension.
Oh, god damn it.
Fourth density, as it were.
What is that? What does that even mean?
We're going to get back to that in a minute.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that a lot here in a minute. Because I know exactly where that's coming from.
Okay.
But it's interesting because, like, you just have all this non-falsifiable, non-verifiable stuff. It's like there's black goo that works as a transmitter between our world and the fourth density. And
of course.
It takes all this negative stuff and brings it over there. They stockpile it and need to eat it.
Why wouldn't it?
Right. It's just like.
That makes perfect sense.
All right, man. I watched X-Files too. Whatever. So then we'll move on because we'll get back to the densities, here in a bit.
Yes, I would like to know which density is which.
Well, we're in the third, but we'll get back to it here in a second because we got to talk about demons.
Okay.
But it is also something that is associated with, what we would call demons. And this goes back to Lilith, which is essentially what we would refer to as the mother of demons, who was, according to
Catholic
history, is Adam's first wife. Now, believe it or not, people think they attribute all sorts of activity on Earth to Lucifer. Well, it's not really Lucifer per se. It's actually Lilith.
So real quick.
Right. Everybody knows that.
The reason that Lilith is seen as evil,
is because she has control over her own sexuality.
She was not subservient to Adam.
Yeah, they were pretty pissed off about that in the Apocrypha.
So it tracks that, this guy would be like, she's actually the devil. Cause, she would not be subservient.
It's just like when women tell, me what to do, or do what they do without asking me, or don't do what I tell them to do. It's like, what could that be but the devil?
Super cool.
There's no other explanation.
Spoiler alert, I did a bit of looking into, I got down a wormhole, looking at the lineups from the Lilith Fair.
I knew you would.
Because of this. And, 1997, the first Lilith Fair.
Uh-huh.
A couple of people I really like, got their start on the, like, winning local contests.
Uh-huh.
And getting to be on the side stage.
Uh-huh.
Dido was on the side stage.
There you go.
Of the 1997 Lilith Fair before, like, White Flag.
All right.
Or Thank You or any of those songs came out.
Of course. Of course.
Also, Lauren Hoffman.
Great.
Super awesome singer-songwriter lady. Yeah, anyway, who cares? There's a bunch. Right. There's so many people that, like, awesome, female musicians.
Yeah.
That just popped
Lilith
up.
Lilith Fair is great.
No, I understand. But you have those, like, big name folks and then a ton of people who, like, you had no idea were involved with it before they were big.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Also, little trivia.
Little fair trivia?
1997.
Yes.
For the tour.
Yeah.
Who was the only act to perform on every date other than Sarah McLachlan?
Wait, on the Little Fair tour?
Yes.
All
of them were tours. I'm gonna go with
Jim, the CPA.
Incorrect.
No, okay.
Yeah, it was all ladies, bro.
It was all ladies.
Suzanne Vega.
I did not know that.
The singer of Tom's Diner.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That song gets inside everybody's head forever.
And then also Luca. She lives on the seventh floor. She's the one upstairs.
Luca Brasi.
The one you try to ignore.
Oh, okay.
Oh man, that's a brutal song. Anyway. Back to the clip.
Okay. All right.
So when you talk about these underground bases, this is the thing that I really wanted to get to is that the Getty, when we go down under the Getty,
you don't.
There's a point where we stop. okay? Then we don't go any farther.
It's called the bottom.
And maybe the day will come when we can go farther, but we're not, I don't know anybody that's gone past this point yet. And this is a really awful point. This is the point where they're doing the really nasty shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell's down there, but when you talk about aliens, yes, that's probably where they are. They're probably down there below that level. But we don't really...
So wait, the cavers aren't aliens?
It's unclear. There's a mix. Demons? I don't know. Look, what he's saying there, just because we got to parse it out a little bit, is I can't bring myself to imagine the next level.
Right.
I know that I would have to say some really...
Who am I, Dante?
I'd have to come up with some really fucked up specifics, and I don't really want to do that.
Yeah,
so,
now this is where you call in Alex, because Alex can come up with your horrible fucking nightmare scenarios.
You need your own Alex.
Yeah.
Too bad Jim can't be that, or Dawn. Let Dawn do it.
Jim was a great CPA, though. You got to give him that.
It is true.
He was really talented.
Hard to come by.
You just don't see that kind of talent in the CPA game.
So again, just to reinforce this.
So in terms of, you do a lot of this by remote viewing, if you want to call it that. But you, as far as going there in person, did you go there exactly once or did you go there more than once?
Well, when you say go there, are you talking about going underground or just visiting the Ark?
No, I mean going underground. You know, you guys, didn't you sneak in underground one time? Am I mistaken? Or
No. That was a tour. That was actually a tour. That was my brother went on a tour with...
Okay. So
my brother, who does not have the same psychic powers that I do,
he's a pale shadow of me.
Not even close to that. He'll never forgive me for saying that. But I just got to let you know,
right.
My brother went on a tour.
I'm shrugging.
It.
I don't know.
That's it.
So yeah, that just to reinforce, he's never been there.
That is the closest we will get to a full on Carrie Cassidy dig.
No, later. Wait.
Oh, okay. Are we going to get a better one?
He makes a cardinal sin.
No, her saying, so when you're remote viewing, or if you want to call it that, is such a slight, you don't know what I know.
You know what?
You're not doing what I know other people are doing. You're full of shit.
I'm noticing a slight trend where Carrie doesn't quite trust remote viewers because she's kind of being shitty to him. And then that episode with Courtney Brown that we did, she clearly had enough of his bullshit.
Right. She was done with that noise.
There is a sense that like she doesn't think that everybody who remote views is telling the truth or knows what they're doing.
It's
a strange line to draw.
One thing that she is, you don't even have physical fake proof.
Right.
You know, like you're just, you might just be making this up. You didn't even bother to take a photo of your TV and redo it.
Exactly.
You're pathetic.
But he's in with Billy.
Billy's a remote viewer.
Anyway, in this next clip, we find out that these cavers. They've been planning forever, maybe thousands of years, all of their plans.
Yep.
And they know that the day will come that they might get found out.
Of course.
And they have a plan for that. And this makes me believe Steve's story way less.
And you see, this is the thing, is that they've been planning for this for hundreds of years. This is obviously what we're dealing with is and I don't want to use the words conspiracy, but the people that we're dealing with
none
here
dare call it a conspiracy.
Have been working on this for thousands of years, and
thousands.
The
After
planning
100.
And the building of the undergrounds are also equally ancient, and they've been planning for since day one that when the day comes that we rise up and confront them, that they will destroy everything and try to, not destroy the bunker, but destroy the entrances and take us out with them.
Interesting. Shit plan.
Why, from day one, which day one? We're talking
thousands of years ago.
But like biblical day one, like 8,000 years? Like what are we talking about day one? Are we talking about Big Bang Day One? Are we talking about when they were created or when they evolved or
I'm just going to let you work this out for
I just want to know more about this Day One. Which Day One? And if your plan includes we're building this thing to fucking chill and have a good time, but we at the same time
there's
know
a gold covered spa.
We know
yeah.
that eventually the day will come when they will come knocking on our door
right.
and we'll have to burn all the entrances. If you can see that far in the future, why can't you see a future where you don't have them knock on your door? Maybe don't even fucking bother.
Well, I can tell you because I watched his lecture about this. I have a little bit more context.
Okay.
Here's a quote from that lecture about this.
I'm lying.
There's a book written about 100 years ago. Very, very controversial book. You're not even allowed to talk about it or they'll practically throw you in jail just for mentioning it in public.
None dare call it book.
And in that book, there's a chapter with a line. And that line essentially says, quote, what fear do we have of the blank? None. If we have an awesome weapon, the undergrounds, the metropolitans. He goes on to poorly quote.
The giant flashlights.
He goes on to quote a passage. And this passage is from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
No!
Yes.
No, he can't be a pest dispenser.
Oh, he's a big one.
God damn it! God damn it!
His whole idea comes from the protocols.
Why does it come back to being a pest?
Always.
God damn it!
So this is the protocol number 9. This is from that he's working off of. And when he says blank, he's just, he doesn't want to in the room say
Jews.
No, Goyim.
Goyim.
Because that's the word he's clearly blanking
yeah.
out.
Gotcha.
Because he doesn't want to make it, clear what he's talking about.
Right.
In the lecture.
Right.
But the quote from Protocols, it quote, you may say that the Goyim will rise upon us, arms in hand, if they guess what is going on before the time comes. But in the West, we have against this maneuver, of such an appalling terror that the very stoutest hearts quail. The undergrounds, metropolitans, those subterranean corridors, which before the time comes, will be driven under all the capitals and from whence those capitals will be blown into the air with their organizations and archives. The fact that he says the undergrounds, metropolitans, he references at the end the organizations and archives, like it's
yeah.
very clear this is
yep.
directly the quote
that's
he's talking about.
That's a Pez dispenser.
So a little bit later in the lecture.
It's such a bummer, Dan.
And it gets so much worse. A little bit later in the lecture, he says this, quote, that passage is from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion. There, I said it. I'm not an anti-Semite. I have a lot of Jewish friends.
Yeah, you are.
This book was written over 100 years ago, and it's totally accurate. Sorry for going off on a tangent like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So he believes,
wow.
without any proof, except for dubious remote viewing and passages from the Protocols of the Elders of Zion.
And also never having gone to the Getty Museum, which
ever.
I have been to. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great.
Man, the history of the Getty Museum is fucking crazy.
So good.
Just a super rich dude who's like, I'm going to start amassing art.
Yeah.
And then he's like, well, I need a bigger space to put all this fucking art. And then he died and they turned it into a giant museum.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah.
And then his fucking grandkid was kidnapped or some shit.
Eh, fuck.
They made that movie with Kevin Spacey and then had to get Kevin Spacey out of it and put Christopher Plummer in it. Yikes.
That's what the Jews were planning all along.
Could be.
The protocols. What's weird about the Pez is that people don't know is that it's all about taking down the Spacey. That's what it's always been about. Kevin Spacey.
Whoa.
Fourth dimension.
Freak out.
Densities.
Freak out.
All in there.
Promise you we'll get back to densities. So the idea is that once humanity finds out.
Right.
Then they will blow it up and then it'll kill all the people who are trying to get in along with the people down there, which again, if I had thousands of years of planning and magical abilities, I think
right.
I could probably come up with a better plan.
You could pull it off.
Teleportation. Let's throw that in there. Make
Might
things
could.
Invisible. Brain control.
That would happen.
I don't know. Any of these things.
Magic.
Yeah.
You could just use magic.
Right.
Really, the thing about magic is that the only constraint is your imagination. And the people who talk the most about magic and it being real tend to have zero imagination when it comes to planning.
You know what would be so easy?
Magic?
You wouldn't need to blow anything up. Just release gas or something like that.
Yeah.
That would work. So anyway.
Why are we so much better at being evil than evil people, Dan?
Because the-
I'm telling you!
Well, because he's not evil. He's a manipulative liar. Like, the evil people in this situation are made up. He's imagining fake evil people that he's working
right.
against.
Right.
We can do better than the shadows in his mind.
That's true.
Because he's crazy and is a guy who rips people off who want lasers on their guns.
And because we're not as jealous of our brothers.
I am. My brother's got an awesome ice cream shop. Go check it out. It's called Betty Ray's. If you're ever in Kansas City, you make the best ice cream this side of the Mississippi. Second location opening soon.
But I'll tell you what. Psychic powers? Can't compare to yours.
Oh, absolutely.
Not even close.
I don't think David can,
I don't know if he'll ever forgive you for saying that.
I don't think he's ever, lucid dreamed. Maybe he has. We haven't
seen
that.
See, there we
go. Anyway, I don't think that's a psychic ability. I think it's just a function of memory and, awareness.
Ah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
The idea is they're gonna blow it up. But if they're gonna blow it up, they need an excuse.
Do they?
Well, hear me out.
Cause I feel like they own it.
You can't just blow up something in Los Angeles without an excuse. This is where Trump comes in. Hold on.
So there's a, this is a thing, and this is, I'm going to get into a real life drama right now. The, Donald Trump is meeting in Indonesia with Kim Jong Un. And obviously they want to end the nuclear episode, but what's really going on behind the scenes is that the CIA was using Kim Jong Un and North Korea as an excuse
the whole time.
Or a scapegoat for when the time came to blow up the Getty. They were going to blame it on North Korea and a North Korean submarine. So Donald Trump is basically removing that. And what else is happening right now is that not only is he making peace with North Korea so that they can't use that excuse as a, you know, precipitation of some sort of event.
Of course.
But at the same time, I'm getting through channels coming down from the White House, actually, that they're actually talking about the Getty right now, and they're talking about the nuclear trap door at the Getty. So, so I suspect that the reason why we don't have the Marines crashing down the door and the reason why we don't have Donald Trump out there saying, okay, what's up with the Getty, is that they are aware of the nuclear bomb and they're aware of the politics and the, you know.
The you know.
The, you know. The whole thing. They're aware of it.
So his conception is that there's a nuclear blast door and also a nuke down there.
Right.
That they're going to set off if and when, Steve and his militia get together and storm the doors. They're going to set off a nuke in order to, I don't know, get rid of all the evidence of satanic temples grounds below this. It wouldn't work. Even that wouldn't work. Like, in terms of, like...
Do you know what it... Well, that's the thing. That's what MAGA actually means. Mutually Assured Getty Assassination. That's what it really stands for.
Annihilation.
Oh, that's way better.
It is.
I fucked up.
So...
Ah, God damn it. Now I'm going to think about that all night.
Now that we've had a little bit of time to talk about it, I don't think there's any problems with that last clip. I think it makes total sense.
That is the worst. That is... A bad plan.
Well, it's kind of a deep mixture between, like, Watchmen a little bit.
Okay, I can see some Watchmen.
And then you have a little bit of Lost in there, too. You haven't made it to that point in Lost.
Right,
but, like,
I've only watched the first three episodes. You're right.
There's the Swan Station. No, the Hatch.
Sure.
It has a nuclear, thermonuclear bomb underneath it.
Right.
There's a fail safe in case things go wrong.
Of course.
So there's that kind of, which actually works with his timeline. Lost would have been out at the time that, he's coming up with his philosophies.
Right.
So it's possible that some of that is, influencing him.
Yeah.
There's just so much bullshit.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And it's drawn from so many terrible places too.
Yeah. But it all.
Man, you know, it's like how so many right-wing pundits are failed comedians.
Right.
Like, they just don't have a sense of humor. They don't get anything, as far as humor or creativity goes.
That guy
so
from
they
the
wind
Proud
up,
Boys.
Yeah, so they wind up showing up in these, like, racist bullshit tirades because they think that what they're doing is being, like, provocative or funny.
Yeah.
Like, this is like...
I'm a comic who succeeded to an extent and then realized I've probably hit my ceiling. I'm going to do something else. I'm still, like, having fun, but I was never, like, a complete failure.
Right.
I was funny.
Right.
At least.
Right. Exactly.
You could make the argument, in some definition, I'm a failed stand-up. But
I am a failed stand-up who has already exceeded his limit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this is as good as I get.
I'm a failed stand-up to the world, but I'm not to my own expectations and my own experience.
Right.
Those people,
and percentage
like Gavin
wise,
McGinnis,
right,
was a failure. He was never funny on stage. Dave Rubin, I've seen clips of him do stand-up. He's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
He is the only person who's
well,
even...
we saw Alex do stand-up, so there
oh,
we go.
God. The yeah. only person who's even close to that world who is, like, genuinely pretty funny as a stand-up is Rogan.
Right.
And he's not even fully in that world.
Right.
He's just... He's too...
He's descending quickly into, caver hell.
Not really. I mean, he's a mess and he needs to be much more critical of the people he allows on. Or he needs to be better about calling them out. But there have been a couple episodes, like he had Dave Rubin on recently, and Candace Owens. And on both of those, there were, he shouldn't have had them on, period, but I don't need to tell someone what they should or shouldn't do. It's
right,
their right.
Right, right, right.
At least there were good instances on each of those episodes where he was like, what are you talking about?
Right.
But sort of like, that doesn't make sense.
Right.
And I appreciate that. So if he wants to have these people on and embarrass them, God bless you.
Yeah.
But if you want to just have fucking Jordan Peterson on again and be like, oh, you're hilarious, you're
oh,
smart.
Oh, yeah, yeah, instead of stabbing him to
there's
death.
There's no time for that.
But these guys are like that, except
yes.
they're failed fan fiction writers. Like, it's even that far back. Like, fan fiction is awesome. And if you write good fan fiction, great for you. These guys are like people who tried to write fan fiction and failed at that.
No one came to their Zenga page.
Yeah, not even trying to write fiction, like trying to write fan fiction about somebody else's stuff because they can't come up with their own ideas. And they realize that they couldn't even come up with their own ideas based off of other people's ideas.
Yeah.
So they just pull this bullshit, which is just like a random ass, and then the guy has powers and like,
but you know what? I'm glad they
do. It's fucking pathetic.
I'm still glad they do.
Yeah.
It helps me get by.
Yeah.
Gives us a break from Alex Jones every
Fair
now
enough.
And then.
Fair enough.
So, we get now to, Carrie saying something stupid about Donald Trump.
Okay.
What about the notion that Donald Trump has been going around supposedly, arresting at least some pedophiles, supposedly taking them and interrogating them? Maybe doing military trials offshore in Navy vessels, as I'm hearing.
Vessels?
And I'm hearing this from more than one witness back channel as well. So it's not just a rumor.
Kinda is.
Yeah.
Just because multiple people are telling you, it doesn't mean it's not a rumor.
Yeah, in fact, that's actually how rumors work. Multiple people spread them.
Also, even if you had military tribunals for these
right,
people
right.
on boats, like in international
waters,
waters, presumably,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You still got to put them in prison somewhere. Uh-uh. Like, there's still going to be a record of
Leavenworth,
them.
Leavenworth, Dan.
There's still going to be a record of them somewhere. It's not like you can just disappear them or kill them.
Not
there's
even no the cavers can disappear people. They send them to Leavenworth.
There's no due process you could be enacting where there's a pedophile. You take them out in a boat. You give them a fucking trial and then kill them. There's not like a death penalty for that. Like I know that we all feel like maybe there should be, but there's not, that's
right.
This argument doesn't work.
No.
It only works.
No, it doesn't.
It only works if like, you believe like Carrie and Steve do, they're eating these people.
Right.
These children and shit like that.
Now that makes sense though.
Which you've got to prove.
I'm kind of fine with that.
Which you've got to prove. Even if you're on a fucking boat, you still got to prove it. It's not like the burden of proof is any less in the water. If it's in international waters, it's probably even more severe because now you're under like UN aegis. You know, you're under the auspices.
We just withdrew from the UN Human Rights Council. We can eat whomever we want, wherever we
want. Congratulations on that.
Yeah. Great, great job, guys.
So now, Jordan, we get to.
Has Carrie ever like expressed her opinion on, the old DT, the guy who should be executed?
Yeah. I think she's for him.
She's for him?
I think so.
That's such a bummer.
Well, because she believes a lot of this other stupid shit, you know?
Right, like, but come on. If you have dreams like her.
When she says in there, I'm sorry to do the finger swirl.
No,
but like,
that's fine.
When she says in that clip, what about this I hear? She's not asking a question. She's bringing that up.
Right.
She doesn't, like, at the end of that, she's not waiting for an answer. She's bringing it up and then launches into another thing that Trump, like, she's in favor of.
Okay.
So there's a lot because of like the overlap between, the stolen valor in the intelligence community.
Yeah.
Thing that's going on.
Yeah.
Mixed with the secret space program bullshit. And the heavy overlap between the two.
Right.
I think that a lot of the things that Alex is being lied about, about, she's being lied to too.
Right.
Like, Robert David Steele has been on her show a bit. He's the one, if you don't remember,
yeah,
was on Alex's show
and talked about
the Mars bases
yeah.
where children are being held.
Right.
He's been on Project Camelot and told her a bunch of stuff about how Trump is working towards blah blah blah. So whatever behind the scenes back channels there are, it exists in both worlds.
Of course.
And I don't know if they're all the same people, but there's probably similar people. So boy, I'll tell you what.
Boy, I tell you what.
In this next clip, I told you earlier that before the cock crowed three times.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Before Paul denies our Lord.
It's actually very much appropriate because Steve makes a big faux pas in this next clip.
Okay.
And that is Carrie brings up Mark Richards.
Oh no.
And Steve.
And Steve is like, that dude's a murderer.
No, just he's not impressed.
You know, I guess you might know about my interviews with Captain Mark Richards, the secret space program. And I have interviewed him now 8 times. And I go up to Vacaville, to interview him in prison. And he's talking about, these, you know, they are going to try to arrest pedophiles and take them in offshore and so on, but they're never going to get the highest level.
Do you want to know what I have to say about that?
What?
Sure. Right. And there's, you know, there's Draco involved as well,
Draco
because this is
too.
A big war, not just reptilians are one level.
Oh, man.
No. I want to play that 300 more times. Draco involved too. Sure. Yeah.
I
love it. That's perfect.
I noticed that, but I fucking forgot it. That hit me. That's a go fuck yourself
Draco,
moment.
Draco involved. Yeah, Draco.
See if I can get back to that.
Draco, sure, Draco.
You want to know what I have to say about that?
Oh, yes.
Sure. Right. And there's, you know, there's Draco involved as well,
Draco
because this is
too.
A big war. Not just reptilians are one level, but Draco are another level. And I was just
going to
say,
there.
I know, but let me finish just so I can paint the picture a little bit more.
So good.
Mark Richards and his father were famous
the
for Dutchman. Having gone in with the military into Dulce. And they did rescue a number of the abductees.
Did they?
And what they said happened was the next night they were abducted again by the Greys.
They could be lying.
I mean, it's hideous shit, but, you know, he has
Carrie.
No vested interest in
Language.
Lying about this, I have to say. So, you know, how do you look at this? You're a smart
most
guy.
Most people are not even close to being to this level, let alone, because,
sure.
you know, this is the thing, like the petition. When you talk about the effectiveness of the petition, yes, it's.
Just to be clear on that, he has a petition to get the military to storm Getty. And Carrie takes issue with the idea of, like, why do you have a petition? What's that going to do? And so that's sort of a little in-the-background argument they've been having.
So he's got a petition.
Yeah, but hold on. We're going
to
talk more about that.
To invade the Getty?
We're going to talk more about that.
All right.
The petition is a finger pointing at the latch on Pandora's box. That's all
right.
It is.
I understand. Sure.
As the secret space program and all of this is concerned and its relationship to what's going on underground, it's the same people. Okay. It's the Third Reich. The Third Reich is very much involved. We have everything that's going on in Agartha and all that. People don't have any clue as to that. We can't even begin to talk about that because most people, this is way over their head.
Oh shit. You said too many specifics.
Oh no. Dan, did you research this?
No, it's just stuff I already knew about. I know what he's talking about.
It's the Third Reich.
Right. Which is Nazis.
Right. But I mean, can't we get past that? Aren't we at the Fourth Reich at least now?
Well, the problem is
because the Third Reich failed.
The problem is that he uses the word Agartha, and
he did use the word Agartha.
So, in a number of contexts, that word can mean a number of different things.
Right.
Generally, it can be used as a fill-in term for like the Garden of Eden. in some weird internet conspiracy world.
Did not know that.
But it something along the lines of like a mythical city, like El Dorado or Shangri-La.
Sure.
Agartha is sort of in the same vein, right, in some worlds. However,
sounds real mythical.
Because Steve mentioned the Third Reich and Agartha, I unfortunately know that 100% he believes in Hollow Earth theory, because that is very specifically a belief that they have.
Where do these fucking guys come from?
They come from...
So he's got all of these balls in the air? How do you have the time to believe in all of this bullshit? Can't you also just believe that, like...
He's integrated a lot of it.
It's nice.
There's a five-hour video you guys can watch online if you want to about the hidden history of humanity.
Yeah, don't.
I've watched it because I used to work at Groupon, and you got to kill the time.
That's a good point.
And it's also, it has a nice soundtrack to it, and some of these people have funny voices.
Bow now.
No.
Bow now. Bow now. Bow now.
Wait, did you just watch Deep Throat? Bow now. So according to
not even that, that was literally the first soundtrack that popped in my
that's
head.
That's a 70s
period.
Porn soundtrack.
Period.
For
I
sure.
know. For sure.
By the way, not vaguely one. That
no,
is 100%.
100%
literally.
One for one. Yeah. No, I guarantee it. I don't know which one, but it's there.
So, according to people who believe in this theory, way back in the day, Atlantis and Lemuria existed, and they were highly technologically advanced
Great.
Civilizations.
Wonderful.
Depending on who tells the story, it could be that the two got into a war, or it could be that they started experimenting with things they weren't supposed to experiment with, and they blew themselves up.
That is the plot to Disney's Atlantis.
Right. It's also a lot of the mythology that comes down from, like, the Edgar Cayce's and the Helena Blavatsky's Theosophist movement.
I think that might be Michael J. Fox's best film. I'm not going to lie to you.
Interesting.
Loved The Frighteners. Huge fan of Back to the Future. But, man, Michael J. Fox's work in Atlantis was incredible.
I mean, time has shown that Back to the Future is certainly more beloved, but I'm not going to get into that argument now. So, as the theory goes, the survivors of Atlantis, being highly evolved beings, fled to the interior of the Earth.
Of course.
In order to, I guess, help humanity continue to evolve.
Right.
Although it's unclear that that was what they were doing up till that point. So, the remainders of Atlantis, the people, the highly evolved beings, now live in the middle of the
Earth. Like Jim, the CPA.
They now live in the middle of the Earth, which is either, like, it's generally... The terms of it are very weird, but they've split into two falsely warring factions.
I don't want to continue. Once you start saying they split into, why? What? Sure. Fine. Continue.
Well, but actually, I'm going to bring this back to Alex,
okay.
I promise. So,
okay.
So they have these two falsely warring factions. There's Shambhala and Agartha, which are the,
right.
The two groups that through the, like, one of them's the Templars and one is,
Hatfields,
the Masons, you know, like,
sure,
it's
sure,
like
sure.
these two schools that are faking to be at war with each
right.
other throughout
Athens
human
versus
history.
Sparta.
Sure, why not?
So, sauce it all in there.
So through their false warring, they have influenced the entire history of all human history.
Doesn't seem hard.
They're rooted in the same group, but use the appearance of disagreement to sway everyone. Kind of exactly what Alex thinks the globalists do. Agartha was on the side of the Nazis, which is how
right.
I know that this is what Steve is referring to.
Right.
According to this entire mythology, there's like there's all. But look, here's the thing. What you have to realize is a lot of this comes down from people who have channeled aliens and stuff like that.
Right.
A lot of it comes down from like very discredited scholars. In the same way that Alex misrepresents primary sources, they do some of the same.
Yeah.
But there's no solid evidence of any of this.
You know, I sometimes both admire your knowledge of this stuff and pity you.
I love it.
Like that's brilliant.
I'm not even
Dan.
Done.
I'm not joking. I'm literally I am at a place now where I am like astonished by how much you know about this.
I have so much
And at
more.
The same time, God damn it, Dan, you don't need to know this stuff. Life goes on.
No, this is all I need to know about.
Fair enough.
So, there's no evidence of this at all, like, in terms of real things.
Oh yeah?
But the biggest proponent behind the theory, and one of the main talking heads.
Jim!
In that 5 hour. Okay. No, he's,
right.
Jim doesn't come into play.
Okay.
But it's Eric von Daniken. He is the,
There are always Vons.
Well, you know, Eric von Daniken's a big Ancient Aliens guy. I loved this. I found this Carl Sagan quote about Eric von Daniken. Von Daniken.
Fuck that guy!
Von Daniken's big book is called Chariots of the Gods. And a lot of it is mistranslations of like Sumerian and stuff like that he had no, knowledge of. And
right.
He's making giant assumptions.
I don't even think most people, like not even experts in Sumerian can translate it perfectly, right?
I don't know. It's difficult. It's definitely difficult. There are very few people who you can trust.
Yeah, there's like five.
Perhaps. But Carl Sagan had this to say about his book. That writing as careless as von Daniken's, whose principal thesis is that our ancestors were dummies, should be so popular as a sober commentary on the credulousness and despair of our times. I also hope for the continuing popularity of books like Chariots of the Gods in high school and college logic courses as object lessons in sloppy thinking. I know no recent books so riddled with logical and factual errors as the works of Eric von Daniken.
Mm.
In past works, von Daniken has referred to the, quote, Book of Dzian, D-Z-Y-A-N, which does not exist.
Yeah, that seems like a big sticking point for Sagan.
He's referenced it.
Sagan is not a big fan of non-existent
things.
We're outside
the quote now. This is just another note.
Okay.
That book, the Book of Dzian, does not exist. It's a figment of Helena Blavatsky's imagination and only exists in, quote, her astral realm.
Right.
Kind of how the Necronomicon of the mad Arab Abdul al-Hazred only exists in Lovecraft's fiction.
Or L. Ron Hubbard's Excalibur.
Sure.
Yes.
But von Daniken pretends it's real and brings it in as a piece of evidence in a lot of his work.
Ash versus the Evil Dead.
So now one of the things
he was involved in that, right?
I want to talk about von Daniken a little bit more just because he is like very central to this ancient alien, specifically the
right.
The Hollow Earth version of it.
Right, 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 right.
And you need to really like there's a lot of other guys we could get into who are equally like discreditable. But von Daniken is really like almost patient zero. He's like, he's the pappy of them all, the big one. So I took a little bit of time to look
into him. He's this Pez dispenser.
But I don't
whatever his Pez is, he's the dispenser of this.
Yeah, perhaps. I don't know. Like, that's the thing about him is I'm not entirely sure that he necessarily has the same like anti-Jew stuff going on.
I'm not saying that he's a literal Pez dispenser. I mean, in the sense that, the Protocols of the Elders of Zion dispense all of this bullshit from that source.
Right.
In the
right.
same way, he is that source that all of this bullshit flows from.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So a whole lot of the ancient alien stuff, and von Daniken's work in particular, seems to be rooted around a disbelief that non-white people could have created anything in the past.
Great.
So instead of researching the reality of these tribal cultures, people like Eric von Daniken just cry aliens whenever they see something that seems surprising.
Right.
One of the critiques of him was that he just, he's said to just, quote, ignore the real achievements of our ancestors and constitute the ultimate in racism. He belittles the abilities and ingenuity of the human species as a whole. Before writing Chariots of the Gods, von Daniken had done time in an Egyptian prison for fraud and embezzlement.
Of course.
When he finished the manuscript, he had a hard time selling it, because people were like, no. Then he found a publishing house that was willing to put it out, provided he allow an actual writer to completely rewrite the book.
Okay. So, okay. So, this is the producer meeting right here. This is listen, I'm your literary agent. I have got you this amazing deal. It is going to be, we're going to give you 60% of the proceeds of this book.
Spoiler alert, I actually know what he got. He got 7. But go ahead.
7%. All right. We love it. It's great. You are amazing. Can we have somebody rewrite all of it?
Sure.
Yay!
Because everyone else said no.
Millionaire!
It actually was a much bigger success than it deserved to be. But,
of course.
So he had to have it rewritten, and his book was rewritten by a guy named Utz Uttermann under the pseudonym Wilhelm Rogersdorf.
Sure.
Now you might ask, why the pseudonym?
No. I wasn't going to ask that. I thought it was obvious. It's because they don't want anybody's name anywhere near that bullshit.
No, it's probably because Uttermann was a Nazi writer / filmmaker, which is code for propagandist.
Great.
He was a Nazi who did not get punished.
Wow. It always comes back to it always comes back to hating Jews and Nazis.
But I don't know
what is wrong with people.
See, I don't know if his theories were actually like hating Jews necessarily. It certainly invalidates a lot of tribal people and what have you. But it is certainly interesting that the guy who rewrote it was a Nazi propagandist.
Always comes down.
Yeah. So the same year that the book was published, Eric von Daniken was arrested for fraud. Having falsified hotel records and credit references to scam $130,000 over a period of 12 years. He unsuccessfully...
Con man's got a con.
He unsuccessfully entered a plea of nullity on the grounds that his intentions were not malicious and that the credit institutions were at fault for failing to adequately research his references.
That's a good argument.
They should have known
better. That's a good argument. Come on, man. I'm a liar. Why didn't you know?
They should have caught me.
It's on you.
So, and then on the 13th of February, 1970, he was sentenced to 3.5 years imprisonment, during which time he wrote his second book, Gods from Outer Space.
Of course, of course.
Also, I have one more thing I want to read, and I hate to do this. I hate to read straight from Wikipedia.
Lies.
There's a lot of...
You love it.
No, I don't. I don't respect them generally as a source because people are going to just edit stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of citations. You can find the backing evidence of this.
Right.
And the way it's written, I didn't want to rewrite it because it's just...
Dead on.
It's fantastic.
Okay.
So this is another damning indictment of Eric von Daniken. Here we go. So in Gold of the Gods, which is another one of his books.
Gold of the Gods.
He has a lot of things of the gods.
That's a sequel to, what's it called? What was the first book?
A book put out by Ted Anderson. Chariots of the Gods was the first one.
Chariots of the Gods.
And then Gods from Outer Space is, I believe, his follow-up.
And now we're at Golds of the Gods.
I'm not sure.
Gold of the Gods.
I'm not even sure that's his third one. There might have been more. But also, there's tons of instances of
a lot of the gods
that he got way wrong, and then they're just like, hey, what about that? He's like,
I'll deal with that in my upcoming book, Blank of the Gods.
So in Gold of the Gods, von Daniken describes an expedition that he undertook through man-made tunnels within Cueva de los Tayos, a natural cave system in Ecuador, guided by a local man named Juan Moritz. He reported seeing mounds of gold, strange statues, and a library containing metal tablets, all of which he considered to be evidence of ancient extraterrestrial visitation.
No other explanation.
A local priest, Father Crespi, stewarded a collection of gold extraterrestrial relics, he said, with special permission from the Vatican.
Love it.
Moritz told Der Spiegel that there had been no expedition. Von Daniken's descriptions came from a, quote, long conversation, and the photos in the book had been, quote, fiddled. During the 1974 interview, von Daniken asserted that he had indeed seen the library and the artifacts in the tunnels, but he embellished some aspects of the story to make it more interesting.
I maybe made a couple of things different.
Quote,
it's not a big deal, though. I'm doing it for, hey, look, you gotta fucking make it amazing. You gotta get people to, you gotta give a little bit of that joie de vivre that, you know, that I don't know what. You gotta put a little bit of it in there.
Quote,
you gotta sell it.
Quote, in German, we say a writer, if he's not writing pure science, is allowed to use some dramaturgiefechte.
See, now
whatever
that's...
Whatever German
that's,
words.
That's some just lies.
Some theatrical effect.
Some lies.
Said. And that's what I have done. 4 years later, he admitted he had never been inside Cueva de los Tayos.
Right. Well, I was never there.
And had fabricated the entire cave adventure.
Look, I mean, I made it up. But that's German for dramaturging it.
A geologist found no evidence of artificial tunnels in the area. Father Crespi's gold artifacts, according to an archaeologist consulted by Der Spiegel, were mostly brass imitations sold locally as tourist souvenirs.
Love it. Love it. Love it.
That's what we're dealing with.
I'm such a huge fan of every story that begins with a local priest found. And I'm like, ooh, give me more. Give me more. It's a local priest? Fuck yes.
So.
Fuck yes.
I know we probably have gone too far down a Eric von Daniken hole, but whenever I hear him say Agartha, that is a big red flag to me, especially in the context of Nazis, because I know he means Hollow Earth, and I know that he means this version of it.
Right.
There are certain words, much like, and we're going to get back to it, the density stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there are those words that, like, I know what that means in this world because I've spent time on these message boards.
Yeah.
And I've studied this stupidity so much that I know, like, whereas it would just roll off your back, or you might be confused by it.
I had no idea.
It's code.
Like, it would never have occurred to me that there was a whole, like, that's the interesting thing about this this world that we live in, and why it's awesome that you have spent way too much time
in it. I've abused myself.
Have murdered yourself through this. Is that, like, so many of these asides, so many of these little, like, tossed off factoids.
Right.
Are like me, like, in my world, I would just go, well, that's more bullshit. But with the knowledge that you have, it's like, no, that's not more bullshit. That's bullshit that points to this bullshit. And that bullshit encapsulates an entire white supremacy. It always comes back to white supremacy.
It does, at least tertiarily.
Always winds up being like one word next to the other word.
Well,
and I'm like, oh, he just said Agartha. That's probably some other made up bullshit like reptoids.
It's another tunnel or
that's
something.
That's some other made up bullshit like reptoids. And instead it's like, no, I can point that back to him being a fucking Nazi. And you're like, damn it.
Well, it's like, what I would liken it to. And actually I could talk for another hour.
Yeah,
about that Hollow Earth stuff. But like, it's like the privileged knowledge of the crazy.
Yeah.
Is how I would put it. And I don't mean to say that. Let me take crazy away from it.
Right.
The privileged knowledge of like a weird set in humanity, because most people don't get to know those things because they never put the time in, like watching a 5-hour fucking video or reading all of these things that I've read that are clearly lies, but I was just interested in them.
Right.
And you generally don't find someone who isn't out of their mind, who knows these things.
Right.
And so that's kind of fun. This guy's out of his mind.
You are a Sherpa of bullshit.
Yeah. I'll take you up bullshit mountain.
You take all of us up bullshit mountain and you show us why it smells bad.
And why it seems like it's an outpost of InfoWars LLC along the way.
No kidding.
So now at this point,
they're all the same fucking mountain.
In this next clip, already Steve has made a faux pas. In that he has said...
Reveal he's a Nazi?
No. Dracos are involved, too?
Mm-hmm. Dracos. Yeah.
That, he's made that faux pas in sort of shitting on Mark Richards a little bit.
Of course.
And I don't want to... I here's what I have to say. I hate that I'm saying this because I feel like it might come off as misogynistic, and I don't mean it to be, but I think Kerry Cassidy is in love with Mark Richards. Because she is so defensive of him.
No, I can totally see that now.
To a level that I don't think, people generally are, unless there is like, you know, it doesn't have to be
a romantic thing. No. I totally get what you're saying.
You can still be in love with someone non-romantically.
No. She clearly cares about him in a way that is beyond a professional relationship.
Yes, because there's so many times when you could just be like, hold on, what is he saying?
There's so many
opportunities for that, and she never takes those opportunities.
And anytime anyone else challenges his thoughts,
she gets very defensive.
Like if he, in their interviews, if he is like, well, this guy said some dumb shit. She's like, he said this guy said some dumb shit, so I believe him.
Yeah.
But if anybody that she is interviewing says bad words about Mark, she goes apeshit.
Or contradicts his narrative, it just becomes a disaster. Yeah.
No. I totally see that now.
And now we're going to see that play out in real time.
Okay.
And this is why what I say, this, like your Mark Richards doesn't understand,
like
is
Mark
that, yes,
Richards.
They're not going to give up. They will blow everything up before they give up.
I would say he understands more than almost any human I've met on the planet by virtue of the fact that he's dealt face to face with these beings
and he murdered
and
for
many years. And so did his father. But aside from that, you know, I appreciate your approach. I will say that, there is another level. I don't.
So already we'll get back to it in a second, but already it's like, look, you are disrespecting my main guy.
That's such a brush off.
You can hear the tone change, from what was before this, like an interview, to now like, I respect your position.
That's the movie pitch meeting. Mm-hmm. I respect what you're trying to do.
Right.
Which means goodbye.
Which means
you're done.
Yeah, there is.
You're done.
There's a feeling of like Carrie's emotionally checked out of this interview.
Yeah,
now
for
at this
sure.
Point.
For sure.
I don't know if you've heard of this guy named Eddie Page, who is got documented evidence showing that he's a group of 33 Pleiadians that were brought here and met with the president, worked for the CIA, were guarded by the CIA.
Right.
for their entire upbringing. And I interviewed him just a couple days ago. He said there's a Pleiadian ship that has just entered our, I don't know if you call it our atmosphere, but very close to us, somewhere from the space station on Alpha. In. And that it's a mothership, so it's gigantic. And I think, I can't remember the exact measurements, but something like 18 miles in one direction, I think he said. And that sort of thing. So he said there's more on the way. And his, it's interesting because I'm having him on the show, I think it's, tomorrow afternoon, I'm having him back. And I'm just giving you this heads up because it's interesting. We're dealing with a war of worlds, as you know. And the question is that he's saying that the Pleiadians are saying that his, you know, contacts in the Pleiades are basically are sort of, they are, you know, brought Jesus. They were,
they brought Jesus,
the original genome, human genome.
Right.
Whether this is all completely correct or not is another matter. Right. We can delve into that on another, you know.
I saw Prometheus, Ridley Scott, not his best film. I still think it's a lot more interesting than people gave it credit for. Idris Elba, fantastic. Anyways, reality. Go ahead and shoot.
Clip's not done, but I do think there's a remarkable moment there where she's like, whether this is real or not, we could talk about another time, which is like, I think that's the only thing we should be talking about.
I think that's pretty much the only thing you should ever be talking about, right?
Yeah, I looked into Eddie Page a little bit. We don't have time for it because it was a whole other interview that she did. And man, boy, he gives me some red flags too.
Page's brother?
Yep. Of his information comes from like a psychologist set him down and did like these regressions, hypnotized him.
No.
Oh boy. Some of the stuff he said in those were crazy.
That sure did not get disproven in that satanic panic era whenever so many children were pulled out and had their regressed memories get people fucking locked up with. Anyways.
He supposedly was in Vietnam and then got taken by aliens.
When he was 8.
No, he was in the shit in Vietnam.
Oh, he was in the shit.
Yeah, he was in the shit.
All right.
He got taken by aliens and he thought it was like 5 minutes later, but it was 11 days that he'd spent on an alien ship.
That makes sense.
And then they had to regress him. He got found in like a rice paddy, miles
soft rice
away,
or hard rice?
Hard rice. Okay. Away from where he was, like miles away. In a different uniform or some shit.
Right.
I don't know. You might have just been doing drugs in Vietnam.
The uniform of the gods.
I don't know. I don't.
That was his next book.
That's true. No, that's no different guy. Different guy.
Sort of conversation. But the question is that they're saying there's no way that we can fight the Draco and the reptilians and win. Wait, and win.
What?
And without sort of their help. And Mark Richards is saying, I know this is, you know, I talk to a lot of people, Stephen, and Mark Richards is saying he deals with what are called the raptors, who originally came from the dinosaurs in the Draco line, but split off back when 65 million years or more ago,
Jurassic Park.
And went their own way and now are working with our military. And this is, he goes into a great detail about this. And so he's saying that they are offering their help. In other words, we're in a situation where, yes, we have some tools to fight these beings, but Earth has been a playground for these beings now for quite a number of eons. And humans have also been their prey for a very long time. So, you know, it's kind of, I think, you know, I appreciate your approach, but I think, you know, let's not be simplistic about it. There's a lot to
all
this
right.
picture.
There's not that many of them out there. There's not that many. There's a lot more of us. Okay. This is why they want to kill us off so badly, because this whole idea of 7 billion humans, it's really dangerous. You know, it only takes like 4,000 humans to equal the power of a hydrogen bomb.
Doesn't quite work
that way. That doesn't make sense at all. No. I don't know what that means. What does that even mean?
There's like hypothetical.
What if you blow 4,000 people up? What does that mean?
There's like potential and kinetic energy that's like from all of our blood vessels and all of the
I mean,
the
if
movement
you have
that's within each
4,000 people made of antimatter that then suddenly touch 4,000 people made of regular matter, then yeah, I suppose. But isn't that the case if you have like an atom of matter versus antimatter? It's 100% energy exchange, Dan.
Right. But there's right. Exactly.
What density are we talking about?
17th.
Okay.
We're going to get into that in a
second. All right.
But like, dude, that's just, Carrie is shutting down. She's sick of it. You don't respect Mark Richards.
Right.
I don't want to talk to you.
Right.
And I think that Steve feels it and now just wants to get his punches in.
Right.
Just wants to get his points in.
Right.
And he is also kind of checked out. And now we get into, something that really scares me. And we are going to remember when I told you earlier in this episode that I have a lot of feelings.
Yes.
About
yes.
this guy.
We've gone through a lot of different feelings about this
one
guy.
One of them should have been made clear when I was, laying out that he likes to rip people off with guns.
Yeah.
But I'm actually, the next couple clips illustrate that I'm actually scared of this guy.
Okay.
Of the people who are on Project Camelot, like, I know Mark Richards killed a guy and all that. I'm not scared of him. He's in Vacaville prison. I'm not really scared.
Right.
I don't think he'd do it again.
Right.
I think he killed the guy under, or was an accessory of the murder on a certain circumstance.
Yes.
I don't think necessarily he's a, really scary dude.
Right.
Steve Kelly, I think, is a fucking scary dude. The beginning of this clip and the next clip will lay that out, but, I mean, we already know that he may or may not have been running a militia. Here's what he's doing now.
Okay.
We're waking up. That's the thing. It's like the stuff that we're doing. Yeah, I have a little Jedi army, okay, right now.
Nope.
I don't know how many there are.
Nope.
But the stuff that we do with just a little tiny group of people, gosh, you know, I'm thinking about what's going to happen when I've got 200 million Jedi.
You won't.
I don't give a damn about the, you know what? This is the thing. For 25 million years, the Draco, the Anunnaki, and the Grey have been running amok and destroying everything and screwing it up for everybody else in the universe, and that's over. And we're us humans that may be the hybrids that were created by all these guys. I don't care if you're a Grey hybrid, an Anunnaki hybrid, or a reptile hybrid. We're still all humans, and we're brothers, and we're going to work together. And guess what? The Creator put us here to kill off those masters, the slaves are rising up. This is like Haiti all over again. And this is how it's
exactly
going to go
like
down.
Haiti.
It's all ancient.
The first thing that's
exactly
going to go
like
is
Haiti.
All the reptoids on Earth. Then all the Greys on the moon. And then when the next time Nibiru rolls around and we get a visit by the Anunnaki, we're going to take them out. And we have a lot of help out there. I'll tell you, you talk about Pleiadians. My God, the Pleiadians couldn't even get into the Getty until we opened the door. So I don't know what.
Well, I'm not sure where you're getting that information.
Yeah, for real.
From being there.
What
does
that mean?
You weren't
there. What it means is when you go down there into the Getty and you're getting ready to open the door, you got all these entities that have been there for 100 million years sitting there waiting behind you.
Sure.
Yes, there's a lot of help out there. We have a big old cheering section, and there's a lot of. You see, this is the thing. All these densities, they don't work together until they work together. And it wasn't until our reality merged with the reality of these higher levels that it even became reality for them to even get involved in. The fourth density, fifth density types like the Pleiadians are sitting out there on the outskirts. They couldn't even get involved in this stuff until we simple third density humans allowed it to come into our brains and make it reality. Because it wasn't even part of the matrix until it was in our
brains. That's not the information I have. I appreciate
your... I don't care what they're telling you. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Well, what resonates is what resonates. And I'm sorry, you have to go back in history a lot farther than that. And I appreciate your approach. By the way, the Pleiadians are six dimensional. So, and they may be more than that at this point.
I say density. Dimension isn't even a word. Dimension is a function of time. Density is what we use. Density is a function.
Well, there's densities and dimensions, so you have to deal with both. One's vertical and one's horizontal, if you want to look at it like that.
I don't...
They just start...
What?
They squabble.
This is like two nerds arguing whether or not Star Wars and Lord of the Rings happened in the same timeline.
Yeah.
Like, this is bananas. Both of you are talking about made-up shit. None of this happened.
Right.
Why are you pulling out six... No, the Jedi didn't speak Elvish. What are you fucking talking about?
Yeah.
You're insane.
It's pretty
crazy.
This
is density versus... What are you fucking talking about?
So now it's time to talk about densities.
All right.
What do you know about densities?
I don't know shit about densities.
There's like, put it in water. You know, it's a...
it's a measurement, density, like how dense is something. That is
No. I understand what density means. I don't understand what it means in your world.
So it's hard to say definitively that this is the exact place that Steve is drawing his concept of densities from, but I would bet almost everything that this is where he's drawing it from. In October 2008, a user on the message board above Top Secret started posting under the screen name Hidden Hand. This person claimed to be a part of the Illuminati, whose personal responsibility was to make himself available to answer questions that people have in order to fulfill the requirement that people have free will. This is exactly the same as Alex's idea of the globalists using lesser magic, that they have to tell you what they're doing before they do it to you.
Right.
So you have this person right. who came onto this message board and was like, you're welcome to ask me any question. I'm not going to tell you things, but you can ask me any question, and it is my responsibility to answer it for you. It's something that the Illuminati bloodlines have to do from time to time in order to fulfill our obligation.
Of course. No. That's just fact.
So Hidden Hand proceeds to take tons of questions. And it's honestly a really satisfying read as far as instances of very clear role playing goes. He sets up rules ahead of time like, quote, I will decide whether or not I am willing to or permitted to answer your question. If your question is not answered, it is either because I cannot disclose it or because I considered your question was lacking in one or more of the following: respect, courtesy, intelligence, decency, or that it was otherwise unworthy of being dignified with a response. Those rules could preclude pretty much answering any question that was posed if they just didn't want to.
Seems like it.
Everything is cryptic enough as to be meaningless answered. Like, quote, we are 13 super bloodlines and we control everything. Like that sort of thing.
Right.
That's meaningless.
Right.
However, at one point, the poster, who goes by Hidden Hand, did get specific when asked to give specific predictions. And the predictions are not good. Quote, there will be a new currency by the end of 2008, early 2009, along with a new union of nations.
Totally true.
January has been spoken of in some circles as the latest.
Nailed it.
The other prediction that they made specifically that's a real shit, quote, San Francisco and Damascus will be uninhabitable by the end of 2010, possibly even sooner.
Pendragon.
So this person was super way off, but I bring this up because the entire thing was largely based around the idea of beings from different densities and how there's a great harvest coming up, which, spoiler alert, was December 21st, 2012.
Tends to happen that
Quote,
way.
Quote, yes, the noonday winter solstice sun of December 21st, 2012 is the time when the Lord of the Harvest shall return. You might know him as Nibiru.
So this, gotta know him as Nibiru.
This Hidden Hand LARPer, this role player,
yeah.
Was doing this in preparation of the hoax and nonsense of 2012 stuff.
Of course.
Which is also a bust from the prediction standpoint. The way densities work is this. I had to write this down because I could explain this to you, but it would probably take me way longer.
No. I'm out.
Okay.
I'm already past.
So they're basically dimensions, but the idea is pretty heavily derived from Gnostic ideas, where there's the infinite one that's the root of everything, right?
Sure.
That which from everything flows.
I'm gonna accept that.
All right. And then tension is introduced in terms of the infinite experiencing itself. As with free will, it would necessarily desire to experience itself externally, and thus division must be made.
Oh, of course.
To make this wildly simplified, a ton of illusions are created wherein different thought forms of different levels can experience different aspects of the infinite one.
That makes perfect sense.
It doesn't, but I think it's the simplest way to explain this.
Sure.
So these differently leveled illusions are called densities, a term the poster ends up using 117 times throughout the dialogue that happens on the message board.
Of course.
We are said to be in the third density, with the first density being just achieving consciousness, period. Just whatever consciousness, you're alive and conscious,
right.
First density. The second density being a state of consciousness where you're conscious of being.
Sure.
And then that evolves to the third when the consciousness becomes aware of its separateness from the whole, which is to say the infinite one.
Sure.
When you reach the eighth density, you absorb back into the perfect unity of the infinite one.
Sure.
However, when you reach the sixth density and you're about to go into the seventh, you have the option to either progress or to descend to help the lower levels evolve.
I am going to pass.
You just want to
I'm just going to pass.
Absorb back.
I'm just going to pass.
Fine.
Hard pass. All of this. Hard pass.
Even on me explaining it?
Yes.
I have to.
The more you talk about it, the less I'm interested in it.
I have to get through this.
Okay.
So details about what the densities are a little thin, but the fourth density is referred to as the density of love. The fifth is density of wisdom and light. And the sixth is the density of unity. As for what that means, you just get to make up whatever you want to believe.
Sure.
So the thing is, I'm positive that he's getting, these ideas from this because of all the heavy overlap.
Right.
And because, in his lecture that he gives that I referenced, he literally says that we need a 51% grade in the service to others side of things in order to pass to the next level.
Nope.
Which is taken exactly 51%? From this. In order to get to the next density.
You need a D.
In order to get to the next density, you have to be in service to others, and then you go to a positive level.
Sure.
If you're service to self, you go to a negative level. It's the selfishness sure. versus the entire thing.
Sure.
The entire LARP is basically about this, rationalization of the idea of the Illuminati being, these people who need to make very seriously evil decisions in order to make sure that they go to the fourth density under the negative version. So they have to be super evil in order to go to the next level, which is good for everyone else because it helps them work off their karmic debt. It's a load of nonsense.
Right. So I've gone blind.
It's 100%.
All of the things that you've said have made me go blind.
It's 100% what he's talking about.
Okay.
It is insane.
All right.
Like, I understand that we're at a point now where you're like, why would I even, you're going blind and you're mad that
I'm not mad at you about that.
What I'm responding to is
like, that is such a complex, ridiculous load of nonsense thrown together as though it made any sense at all. It's bananas.
I'm not here arguing that it makes sense, but I'm arguing that that's where he's taking this from.
Yeah.
100%. I know this, like, in the same way that you were, like, charmed by the Eric Von Daniken version of this.
I was having fun.
Now it's the same thing. I can tell you he's getting that from this.
Yeah. But he's making it suck.
Also, spoiler alert, Hidden Hand was asked if the Earth is hollow, and the response was, yes, definitely.
Well, yeah, but that's true.
Now, granted, it's important for me to point out that this notorious internet hoax is almost certainly ripped from what's known as the raw material, or the Law of One.
Uh-huh.
This is basically another in a long line of channeled documents where humans had aliens speaking through them, like the Urantia book that we talked about on a past episode.
Yeah.
The reason I discount this being, like, the raw material as being where he gets it from, is because, Steve got his, that book came out, the raw stuff came out in the 80s, the 1980s.
Yeah.
And Hidden Hand popped up in 2008. That timing seems interesting because on one of the gun sites that I went to, there's this review from 2009.
Yeah.
Quote, though I eventually got what I ordered, I had already written it off as lost because it took close to 6 months, if I remember correctly. He wouldn't return calls and I filed reports everywhere. Local cops even knocked on his door and spoke with him, and I was talking with the ATF about him as well. When he did send it to me, he enclosed the business card of the cop that he spoke to, and made some comment about me being a whiner. So I think in about 2009, he got reported to the, ATF.
Right.
As being, a fraudulent gun sale guy.
Right.
And then he needed to diversify his portfolio.
Right.
And became a Illuminati, insider, and he just ripped off stuff that he had found on message boards and the internet and turned it into an entire worldview.
Of course.
My thesis about him is complete. That is what I believe about him based on the things that I know. Now, here is why you need to be super afraid of him.
You know, you talk about beings. Okay, this is the thing. Okay, you know about all the super soldier stuff, and I know you people know about that, everything. And I have this entity that we refer to as Rambo. And Rambo is Rambo's been getting very active lately, okay? And he pretty much will do anything I want. But Rambo's one of the reasons why these guys won't touch me, I think, when I can get away with these things. And I don't know. If you've met Rambo, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'm sure there's people listening right now that have met Rambo.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Oh, Carrie, I don't know. You ever meet Rambo?
No, not to my knowledge. This sounds like a discarnate entity.
Yeah,
discarnate entity.
He's my altar.
Okay.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know what he is exactly. He's another density entity. He's a higher level density entity, but he's very active on this plane. And, he's kind of like my bodyguard, I guess, something like that. I don't know what you call him, but he's been very active lately. So
that to me sounds like I dissociate and hurt people.
Yeah.
And then I blame Rambo for
yeah.
it.
Yeah. That's a multiple personality kind of bullshit right there.
That's
and
really...
multiple personalities doesn't exist.
Well, not as that,
That's a psychotic break.
That's a dissociative, sort of thing. And the fact that he's aware of it leads me to believe it's not sincere and he just likes hurting people.
Exactly.
And then blaming it on, this other alter that he has named Rambo.
Yeah.
That's fucking scary. The fact that he's involved in illegal gun operations is fucking scary. The idea that he used to have a militia and now calls it a Jedi group is fucking scary.
It's a little bit charming, though.
all this is so goddamn scary. It's such a mess because I know how people work.
I mean, look, if Gavin hadn't called it the Proud Boys and instead called it the Jedis, that might make me feel differently.
But if they did the same
Proud Boys,
if they did the same thing, I'm not into it. Just
no, yeah, yeah, I agree.
Like, what if you
same
just,
time?
What if ICE called themselves Jedis?
Now, see, there we go. Now we have a question.
That's the
exact, now we have a conversation.
That's what we're talking about.
Now
here.
We're in an interesting situation.
So, you know, he loved to sell guns.
Yeah,
but it turns out there's one weapon that's greater than any other weapon. I take issue. I think that he's not correct in this, but let's let Steve speak his piece.
And I'll tell you, and you talk to any of these super soldiers, if they're the real deal, and they'll tell you the same damn thing. It doesn't matter what you go up against. All you got to do is say Jesus Christ, and they're dead.
That
it's so easy.
Sounds right.
I do that time and time again.
That's it.
You go up against some monster, and they think they're so tough.
Real quick.
The power of Christ compels you.
At this point,
the power of Christ compels you.
At this point, Carrie is so checked out that he's just rambling to her, yeah. like trying to end the show.
Yeah.
You're not coming past me. You're nothing. You're nothing. And then all you got, I don't even have to say it. All I have to do is think it. And they're
You're
boom,
sad.
They're gone, just like
this
that.
This is sad.
They don't know what hit them.
This is the saddest and thing I've ever heard.
We all do it. We all do it. So this is not religion, but that's what we do.
Sure.
That's how it's done.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
She's so checked out. She's like trying. This is maybe 5 minutes into her like trying to end this. Like, let's do some plugs.
Yeah.
And so I have one last clip, and it's where Carrie is trying to do some plugs. She plugs his Twitter, and is like, "Where can people find you?" And we now get to the petition that he started. I know you had some questions about
the petition.
Here is where we get into this petition not going so good.
You have a petition, and I want to make sure people know, do they need to go to a special link to find it, or what's the simple way to find this stuff?
Well, that's the thing about the White House petition page.
No.
It won't even really show up on the page until we've got at least 250 signatures. So the best way to find it, of course, is just to do a Google search with my name.
Not great. Under 250 signatures for this save. Destroy the Getty.
Oh, he just
demon.
He just sadded me. I just got sad.
You want to get even sadder?
He just made me sad.
He has a radio show called Truth Cat Radio.
He can't have a radio show.
He has a radio show.
How can you have a radio show if you can't even get 250 signatures?
Well, they have a Patreon. They have 3 donors.
Okay.
Anyway, guys, thank you for donating to our Patreon.
I guess maybe we shouldn't be evil.
No. It seems fun in terms of what you can lie about.
Yeah.
But if you actually get down to brass tacks, you see, like, he's got this fundraising site, and he has 3 people who have signed up for
it.
He spits all this vitriolic shit on Twitter. He probably has as many followers as us.
Right.
It's not like he's doing much better on that front. You see, like, that guy who was on InfoWars, this is the example I always use. Like, he was starting the info wagon.
Yeah.
He was getting the, like,
ooh,
to get the
that's
truth
right,
out
the
there.
Info wagon.
He was sitting at like $300 in donations for months. You know, like all this stuff, like everything is so artificially inflated. It's easy to some extent to get tons of views on your videos if you name them salacious things like
right.
spaced proof of
Right, conspiracy.
And shit like that, and you know how to do some mild SEO, you're able to drive traffic. So you can have 20,000 people watch your video, but what does that translate to? It doesn't translate to shit.
Maybe it's that we should still be good, but get better at SEO.
That's the real
message. I think that might be what we're, trying to tell people is that unfortunately, evil people are just better at SEO than we are.
Well, no, you know what it is? It's they're better at the manipulation stuff.
Right.
And unfortunately, some of the, like, just, like, real, keystone aspects of creating of, an internet presence, it's based on manipulation.
Yeah.
And so we're not good at that.
No.
We're trying.
Terrible.
I did that Instagram shit over.
You did great. We did things for the gram.
Maybe that helped.
For sure.
Anyway, this brings us to the end of our, time with, Stephen Kelly on, Project
Boy,
Camelot.
Boy.
What a ride.
If you
what
had,
a ride.
If you could put a laser on a knife, you would have SK Industries as well.
I sincerely wish that, you had been more present while I was talking about density stuff, because I feel like you left me out to dry.
I don't know what to tell you about density. That bummed me out. Density stuff bummed me out. Like when you start talking about levels of density, I get angry.
I don't know
why. I'm pissed off. I don't know. Because if you pull out dimensions, that's fine. We can have a fun talk about
it. It's more or less the same thing.
We can have,
but that's the issue. Science.
That's the issue.
You take science out. Take science out.
Like dimensions to me can be thrown in with all science fiction where it's like,
length, width, time.
Sixth dimension. Like, sure, fine. It doesn't actually mean anything. But when you start talking about like fifth density, that doesn't make any goddamn sense at all.
Well, that's wisdom.
That's bullshit. That's nonsense.
It's wisdom.
That's fucking nonsense.
No.
It doesn't have a thousand-year science fiction history behind it.
No, but it has at least 20-year bullshit history behind it.
That's
hey,
true.
How's it going?
That's true. Fair enough.
I delight in this stuff, especially this episode, just because it hit on these, like, these Hollow Earth shit.
Right.
This hit
every part of your wheelhouse.
I could have gone another couple hours, honestly, just rambling, and I kept it tight in terms of
6 hours later.
Just all the shit I know about this.
Like, I know a treatise
on Atlantis.
I know,
but
I know the moment we got into Atlantis stuff, I was like, shit, Dan's gonna talk for.
I kept that
years.
Tight. I kept
you
that
did.
Tight.
You did an amazing job keeping it tight.
Now,
yes.
If there is a Project Camelot episode that I can find where someone is like, Atlantis is in Bimini or something like that,
yeah.
then we're doing a six-hour episode.
I gotta lock off a whole, take a time off work, mm-hmm. I gotta do a whole thing. I gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And we gotta get a handle. but be that as it may, this brings us to the end. We'll be back to Alex Jones related stuff soon. Also, we gotta do a hard reset on some stuff, and one of those things is we've done a very terrible job of getting back to these time travel episodes.
Yes.
And so I'm going to make that a priority moving forward. Very public apology to Jim and Ian in particular, two dudes who have had we've owed them.
Yeah.
The time travel episodes, those will be coming soon.
Yeah.
We'll be back. Everything is moving forward and wonderful. If you want to check out our website, it is knowledgefight.com.
You can follow us on Twitter at knowledge_fight. You can go to Facebook.
That's right.
You can do that. Facebook group called Go Home and Tell Your Mother You're Brilliant. You can find us on iTunes. Google just released a new podcast app. I bet you could probably find us there.
I bet.
I
don't know how to do that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Who knows? Not on Stitcher. I have no idea.
Nope. Definitely not on Spotify. They have no interest in us.
No, but we are on the Howl app. We're not.
Anyways, Dan, I believe it's your
turn.
We're
also on Nerdist.
Ooh, no. Cut that out.
No. They're not related to Chris Hardwick anymore.
I know. I'm just... All right.
You can go fuck himself.
All right. He can absolutely go fuck
That's
himself.
That's a minor one.
Yeah. What do you got, Dan? No. It's your turn.
Eric Von Daniken. For all of your massive lies, some of them still fun. I appreciate some of them, the scope of them, but you can still go fuck yourself.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.